Broadcasting live from the Don and Mike Building, 3 FM, 106.7 WJFK, Manassas, Washington, D.C. This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once per 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Okay, hi. Now, before the...
We're talking now.
Before the wacky tapes start, yes. I wanted to take a moment.
A moment?
Just a brief uno momento.
Here's a moment.
Just brief. A Donnie moment.
D-O-N-I.
A tender moment. D-O-N-I exclamation. Like Vicky,
mm-hmm. Right.
The greatest talk show ever. Vicky Lawrence was Vicky exclamation.
But it's a kind of chubby, soft exclamation point.
Oh, it's chubby, all right.
Welcome to my chat show. Today, the magic of blue cheese. How do you fight the blue cheese breath? That's the topic on today's Donnie. We'll be talking to housefrouhs from across America.
Does the tongue scraper really work?
And in our second segment,
yes.
Do you smell his underpants after he's out with his friends?
Blue cheese.
And its many cures.
On today's Donnie. And is your man cheating? Your nose knows.
Your nose. Follow the blue cheese smell, and you'll find the other woman.
Today on Donnie. Okay, thank you.
That's not what you're going to talk about.
No, I am going to be, not that I am not honest with you always. Soul Patrol! Gonna be honest. I hate it when someone says, you know, can I be honest with you? Because it implies they've not been honest.
Up to that point.
Up to this point. Mm-hmm. I feel bad about something that that I said yesterday on the show. And I'm saying this for myself more than anybody else. I was talking about the guy at the website, the Radiophile website, the Rupert Pupkin guy. And I guess it was about 3 weeks ago I said, you know, gosh, if I ever go on a rant on this guy, $5,000 to the American Red Cross. And then yesterday we had some fun with it. Read some of his love notes to me on the website, tried to get a little something going there.
Right.
And I got home and thought about it and thought, you know, I was playing him the fool, playing everybody the fool, and for that I apologize. If you really think that I'm so nuts, and now I'm going to be serious, swear on my wife's life,
mm-hmm.
on my wife's grave, you know what I mean. If you think that I'm just going to make a crazy on-air challenge to some tool at a useless website that pisses me off and use the American Red Cross as a
pawn?
Yeah. I'm not going to do it. Since August of 2005, two things happened right around the same time last year. Frida died and Katrina hit. Since that time, I have made many, many donations, larger and smaller than $5,000 to the Red Cross. Specifically, I hope for Katrina victims. Some have been through the Peyton Manning Foundation.
Right.
You know, it's no secret that guy called me after Frida died. Others, I just send a check. It hit close to home because, Big Frida's sister, there was just a death in the family last week. I don't want to say it's because of the hurricane, but these are people that were relocated from mm-hmm. Louisiana to Alabama, right. And the ticker goes out. And so I'm emotionally invested in this. Frida was always very generous, and she always said it was a reminder of how lucky we were. Now that I run the money myself, I am continuing to make donations to charities, and I don't talk about them a lot. The truth of the matter is that I had budgeted for this quarter, for whatever, March, April, May, since that's how I do my bills, $5,000 to donate to the Red Cross,
mm-hmm.
like I have in previous months, and sometimes more and sometimes less. I don't want to talk about that. But where I feel oogie is that, see, I was playing with house money all along.
Right.
And I had even said to my girlfriend, back when American Idol started, when I said, I'm not going to watch the show anymore. I said to her, you know, I'm being very manipulative, but, you know, I really could say something like, I will make a $5,000 donation to charity if I cave and watch that show.
Right.
And then I thought, no, because, of course, I'm going to watch American Idol. I mean, no matter what I say, I'm going to watch it.
And you're going to make the donation anyway.
Right. And then this thing with this guy at the website came up, and frankly, I enjoy the sparring. Sure. It's funny stuff to me. I think the guy's obsessed, obviously. But the bottom line is what I did say is if I had mentioned the guy's website, $5,000 would go to the Red Cross. So I'm making my usual donation. I'm just making it a month earlier than I normally would. It will add to my...
So you are making a $25 donation.
$5,000.
Okay.
I will add it to my previous generous donations that I am, frankly, too modest to mention.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say to Rupert Pupkin, thank you. Mike didn't know nothing about this. If the guy...
I knew one thing. I knew that I wasn't making a donation after I read that website.
Yeah, if the guy really, because I was thinking... in my head yesterday, this is all on the fly, and I'm going to pay the $5,000 anyway because it's in my heart, and you don't want to hear some guy come on the radio and go, you know, there's nothing I hated more than like watching Rosie O'Donnell's TV show where she would have to say something like, because, you know, she made something like $20 million a year. She would tell you, I'm going to send $5,000 out to help.
Right.
And you know, that's toilet paper money to her. Mm-hmm. I mean, why brag about it? I feel bad that I misled people thinking that, you know, I was going to dick around to charity. I wouldn't do that. You got to know that about me. Okay? So that's it. And the picture of the check, incidentally...
You're making me feel guilty.
The picture of the check... Well, Mike, no, do whatever is... Do it. Is God putting $50 on your heart? The picture of the check is on our website, of course, with, you know, my address and the number is deleted out. But please note that in the memo section, it says... It says the word a-hole and then the name Dave Hughes.
Right.
Real big. So when the Red Cross gets
alias that, Rupert Pupkin.
Yeah, when they get that, they'll know. So guy at the DCR TV, hey, dude, you've been played. I mean, it could have been American Idol. It could have been you. You know, I got 4 hours a day to fill.
I will continue my candy striping, as I've always done.
I got a case of the, I'd call it a case of the Fritas. When I got home last night and I thought, you know what? Christ. First, I don't want to come on there and say, hey, I give money to charity all the time.
Right.
Who cares about that? But really, you know, I was playing with house money. Now, the only other thing that I wanted to straighten out, the thing about Lewis the Retard, that's 100% true. He's not going to be back on this show.
Right. You're stuck with that.
Yeah.
He's a strange egg.
I mean, that's
true. Fellow.
That's, you know, from this mouth to God's ears. Mm-hmm. That one's, that's not like a bogus.
Well, that should be from that mouth to your own ears, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Mike, no, you're...
I know
you're,
you've always had a soft spot for old Luthard.
That's partially, you know, in reference and deference, you know, and respect to you.
that he would not be on the show?
Yeah.
Because I hated him more than you did.
That's nice.
I did give him 8,000 chances.
You did. Yeah. And, you know, that's the way it goes with certain people.
So that,
you know, you take
time,
a shine to a guy and you do that. I always thought that he was just, you know, anything he was around was very bad.
Trouble.
So at that time,
thank
I
you,
think
buddy.
I said, you know, $5,000 for the Red Cross. Because I don't know whatever hurricane was going on at that time. Right. That was before Katrina. That was like 4 or 5 years ago. I just threw, you know, that one picked out of a hat.
Is that your charity, the American Red Cross? Is that who you donate most of your stuff to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that and the Cancer Society.
Okay, American Cancer Society.
Good, Rob. What, you want to repeat that?
I hate cancer.
There you go. How about that?
Rob Spiewak.
How about him? Okay, so that's all I wanted to say.
Very good.
And the picture is on the website and the check.
Good for you.
And I wrote it real big.
Did you use a Sharpie?
Of course. All my checks are in Sharpie.
See? There it is.
A-S-S, then the word Dave Hughes.
Right.
There you go. So, when some family, hopefully down in Louisiana, you know, down in Alabama, down in some of the forgotten states, when they get some supplies, maybe you know, some National Guardsmen or some Red Cross volunteer will say, oh, look, this money came from A-hole Dave Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
See, and in some small way, he's done something nice for somebody.
He's done some good. He can take solace in that fact. He can. He really, really can. And he kind of went nuts last night.
If he had kept it in his pants...
Uh-huh.
He could have made $4,000 more for the Red Cross.
Right.
He could have made $4,000. That was my mistake for making it a game yesterday. But, you know, I was willing to go with it. I was willing to go with it.
It has gotten to me to be beyond even... It's so amusing to me now. It actually... It's funny. It's just funny. I, you know, there was a time when I really read that website, and I will not lie to you. The stuff that was written on there would get under my skin. Now, really, the more bitter it is, the more vitriol, the more I actually enjoy it.
Right.
I truly do.
The less serious we take
it. You know, he's the guy that runs the website. And I'll get my $5,000 worth here. The guy that runs the website, the Rupert Kupkin guy, very much you know, aligns himself like with Fox News.
Yeah.
What he doesn't realize is that, I mean, he's very anti-Fox News and what they stand for.
I see.
What he's become is Fox News, because he wants to come off as a guy who is an insider inside the radio business, who will tell you things that no one else will tell you. And in the wild world of the mailbag, where he allows anything to be printed about anybody, if he wants to put his two cents in, what he doesn't get is that that's where people will make their decision on if he is, in fact, just some loser, Rupert Pupkin, live with your mother, sit around with your thumb up your rear end, or if you're really a guy, you know, who wants to be, for lack of a better word, a journalist, and you can be an internet journalist. You can't have it both ways. You can if you're doing a radio show.
Well, he doesn't want to do what hundreds, thousands of people in this business that write about it and do it have done, which is pay your dues, which is go through the proper channels. What this guy has done is stay in his bedroom through his teens, through his 20s, his 30s, his 40s. I don't know how old the guy is. And he hasn't paid his dues.
Excellent.
Everybody that is in this business, whether you're on the air, whether you're writing about it for a major newspaper, even for other websites, a lot of these guys have paid their dues. This guy... Where are the credentials, other than the fact that he's got a computer keyboard
and
next to his his little rag?
And you note, he begs for donations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, please keep this site running. It's your last bastion of freedom to hear the truth.
He's a panhandler.
No, come on. I mean, it's not the last bastion. You got mad at me because I got mad at you, and then you decided to have a hissy fit. But the problem is that I'm not trying to present myself as some kind of source, and I know that's a pun on my own name, and I know that
Michael Soares.
You know that, and you're probably genuflecting right now at that.
Uh-huh.
You and I both know that I'm not portraying myself to be a source on news items, an area of the media that you can trust. I mean, you're just some dick with an attitude. I mean,
with a chip on his shoulder. I mean, you know, the fact is he's got a chip on his shoulder.
And
really, the tone of the entire website, he gravitates to people that have chips on their shoulder.
I read the last thing I'm going to mention about this guy for right now is I read on there today that he's comparing himself. He thinks this is all part of my shtick, and to an extent it is, but he's comparing himself to real guys that really wrote in the newspaper, like Jeffrey York, who he did feud with at the Washington Post, and Frank Ahrens, who, you know, listen, Hughes, again, do I have to pull the curtain back? Do I have to tell you that I was friends with Frank Ahrens? And I continue to be friends with Frank Ahrens, even while we did that stuff like As the Ahrens Turns.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, when we did all that stuff with him,
right.
He was a good guy.
But even if you're going to reference those guys, even guys like Jeffrey York, guys we don't like, the fact is, these are guys that you have to give them their due. They have real jobs. They have gotten real jobs for real trade publications and newspapers.
That was my point.
Right.
And there is an argument that you could say, well, the Internet in a lot of ways, you know, compared to 10 years ago, the Internet is how a lot of people get their news. Right. Well,
go work for one of the major trade publications on their website.
This guy wants to be like the Drudge of radio, except he's, you know, he can't hide the fact he's got a giant hard-on for this show.
Well, and these, you know, these websites have furthered the cause of a lot of these agoraphobic idiots that think that they're something that they're not. It's almost a perpetual fantasy life. It is a fantasy that these guys think that they're legit.
Pretend to be
celebrities. You know, and here we are saying they're not legit, but we're talking about it.
Of course we are.
Well, the fact is, because it is fun to talk about, I wish that in this town, I've always wished that in this town,
indeed,
they had a newspaper that would really cover radio like they do in some other cities. I really, really wish they do.
Well,
but this guy's credibility is out the window as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think most people figure that out. That out now.
Hope so.
Editor's comment. Turn all your radios off 106.7 between 3 and 7 p.m.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't do that in a real newspaper.
No,
see.
You couldn't do that.
No.
The difference is, that's the whole thing. We're entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what Rupert has to learn is he's entertainment, too.
Okay.
And I hope you've liked the 15 minutes we gave you up front on the show today.
Okay?
You're an amusing little twit. And I'm sorry to the Red Cross, and I'm sorry that I used you, you little twit. Because really, you're a piss ant to me. But I like stepping on them. And I like taking magnifying glasses and burning their wings off. And then sometimes I like eating them. And sometimes I like squashing them and just watching the like all the larvae and bug juice come out of them. Yeah. Because I'm the eagle. I don't hunt flies. They come to me. And I just kill them. I kill them, then I eat them. And then I digest them.
And piss ants.
Yeah, and piss ants. Oh, they're good. Man, you ever had piss ants and some trail mix?
Real nice. Especially if you get enough M&M's in there.
Doesn't sound good.
Oh, you got it. Well, it's kind of like that trail mix you make.
Delicious and yummy for your tummy.
Okay. So, pep talk over. There you go. Money goes to the Red Cross.
Good for you.
As it has gone in previous months. And excellent. Okay, so that charade is over. Now, let's start. We'll turn the microphones off and just play a couple of minutes of wacky tapes and start with some words of wisdom from, who is this? Oh, I know, Phil McGraw.
I can't drink and I can't do drugs. What a crummy life.
I want to thank Don and Mike I had a lot of fun here, and I didn't travel 3,000 miles to watch you lose, so that's why you won.
All right.
But I want to thank all of you for supporting the Children's Hospital. It's a very, very good cause, and it'll make us all much happier. Incidentally, Don and Mike, I think you're terrific on the radio. You have great wit and great energy, and you're fun to listen to. And I don't know how you do it for 3 or 4 hours like that and keep it going with that pace. You're really terrific, and I appreciate it.
Thank
everybody,
you.
Have a good summer.
Thank you, Dick Van Patten. Thanks a lot, Dick.
You are in denial.
Frank, was there any trepidation on your part to a little concern about a lot of people don't want to talk about their children publicly?
Yeah, a little bit. I must say that, Larry. Cody's a very public person. You can't really hide your family. We don't intend to do that. He has a very private life also. I think he's learning a lesson, too. It's kind of hard to have me as a parent, Kathy as a parent. He has to learn to live that way, grow that way. And I found it very interesting. Here's a kid who can't read and he can't write.
Can't spell.
Can't spell, and he's written a bestseller.
If you don't take another drink today, you're going to be drunk for 6 months.
Oh, I know that you're from Meet the Press. I think I'm going to go.
How about my head? Trading sex for alcohol and cigarettes.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me.
Oh.
Huh. Yeah, wait a minute. Excuse me, sir. Are you Tim? Excuse me. Are you Tim from Meet the Press?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, hi. Nice to see you.
I'm Ronnie. I seen Meet the Press a couple of times.
You ever see Face the Nation? Bob Schieffer's right here.
Oh, Bob Schieffer from CBS.
Much better.
Hey, Bob. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Rick. I seen you on CBS.
We're
going to
be going on air in 1 minute.
Oh. All right. Yes.
What's the numbers, Batman? But they are the harbingers of your doom. Can you feel it coming? The icy cold of space. Ah, at 30,000 feet, your heart will freeze and beat no more. After you're frozen, your icy tomb will plummet back to Gotham.
Freeze, you're mad.
Ah.
This capsule explodes, it'll slaughter thousands.
Freeze well.
Beto, he was found beat to death this morning in a motel in Fort Lee. My cop up there told me. Mink. Plus the homicide detectives told him Vito had a pool cue rammed up his ass.
Well, this quarrel, maybe. Look, we don't know who did it.
Phil, what I always say about him?
So you heard the news. That must have been Phil, right?
Jimmy Olsen over here.
I know he's out of line, but still, you kind of have to admire the guy. It's that old talk with him. I'm just saying. He saved us all a lot of trouble, right?
Can't have been an easy decision, killing a made guy, huh? Naturally, Phil won't brag about it, because you can't. Phil was in a tough situation. His family honor was stained. If I got the veto first, that result would have been the same.
I wish I'd have borrowed money from Vito.
You know what this is, right? It's not about Vito, it's about me. Phil's saying he can do whatever the f*** he wants, including kill a captain in my own family, and I can't do a f- Think about it.
It's always been partly about that.
You're up next. It's 37 minutes after the hour, and you're on next. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
All right, wait. Let me turn down my radio.
Okay, by all means. The gentleman is turning his radio down, and he is rejoining us in... Are you there?
Yes, yep. I'm here.
Okay. I can still hear your radio in the background.
The what?
I can still hear your radio in the background.
Okay.
You'll have to turn it off.
Okay, I'll turn it off.
Okay, great. So, we are... Is it off now?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great.
Yes, what is your name? I've never heard you before.
Oh, my name is Hugh. Hugh Hamilton.
Oh, that's great, because you have a lot of fans that listen to the Don and Mike show.
Oh, boy. Good afternoon, Talkback. It's going to be one of those afternoons, is it? I'm game for this.
Good afternoon. I'm Hugh.
Oh,
Hugh Hamilton.
I forgot about the old double H.
It's going to be one of those afternoons.
Actually, it'll be the 4-H. It would be Happy Hour with Hugh Hamilton.
Happy Hour with Hugh Hamilton.
And, Mike, how are you feeling before we get to your favorite part of the show?
I'm feeling just ducky.
That's almost like the test. You hit that mark.
If I hit that mark, I'm okay.
I know you're going to make it through the show.
Yeah, I think I'll be all right.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or between, 2 and 6, or 1 and 5, or way out there.
Way out there.
And noon and 4.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
You take disco, you take jazz.
Hello.
And you get down. Right, Conway West?
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Conway. Thank you, Conway.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yeah, right. I'm pulling your wang.
Wait a minute.
Pretty good. Pretty, pretty good.
Hello.
Let's open the door. Let's see the big head.
Ta-da.
He's mentally retarded.
How's
your butt?
How's yours?
I'll write you a letter. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Benson and all the ships at sea.
Oh.
Hey, don't panic, because here's Dr. and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. Take it easy, Mike.
Oh, boy. Are you well?
Boy,
that makes me mad.
Where's my paper bag?
Come on now.
Got to get in the bag to breathe into.
I'm Hugh Hamilton.
I'm sure you can tell by the smell. This is the Don and Mike Show. And it's a new episode, everybody. This is Tuesday. Right, 0523-06.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Pretty much the same as them. Here's the phone numbers, 877-365-3636.
What's that supposed to mean?
What?
Sanest of us? What do you mean? Are you trying to stress me out on purpose?
Or you can call 800. I'm trying to give him a compliment.
It's a compliment? Jesus Christ.
800-636-1067. And if you live in Washington, you can call us for a limited time at 202-432-1067. That's the Washington, D.C. number.
Hello, Carlo.
Let me see. We're on the web. You can hear us on the Internet. Go to our website, donandmikewebsite.com, and click on Listen Live. If you want to send us electronic mail, we got a boy who reads it for us.
That's right.
I mean, literally reads it for us, and we can't read.
Yanni.
Yanni reads it to us. You can email us anytime, donandmikewebsite.com is the email. And what am I forgetting? Oh, yeah, iTunes.
Yeah.
iPod. All over iPod.
iTunes. iPod. Good.
Got to do it. So if you want to hear it on the iPod... Go to iTunes and talk radio. And we're there. It's all over the
big
place.
Time. Good afternoon.
Hugh Hamilton. Don Mike, hello.
Hello. How are you today?
Hello.
I'm Rob.
It's going to be one of those afternoons.
Hugh Hamilton.
My name is Hugh.
We're waiting for the caller.
Hugh Hamilton.
We're waiting. Hello.
Yes, it's you. Yes, turn your radio down, please.
We're waiting for the caller.
Yes,
I'm Rob.
You're Rob. I'm Hugh. He's Hugh.
Hi. I'm Hugh. Hugh Hamilton.
Can I speak to Don and Mike?
I'm not sure.
They are very busy.
They have a very busy schedule.
Who are you?
I'm Hugh.
I am Hugh.
Hugh Hamilton.
I'm Hugh Hamilton as well.
I'm Hugh Hamilton. Hey, Mike, I just wanted to call to agree with what you said a little while ago
about
paying your dues in radio.
Yeah, about Hughes and radio?
Paying dues.
Yeah, about paying your dues.
Oh, paying
your
dues, yes.
I think he was speaking
about...
Yeah,
I totally agree with it.
I think he was speaking, though, darling, about paying your dues in the journalism field.
I was speaking about both. I was
no,
speaking about
right.
both radio
Where you
and
do?
Journalism.
All right, Hugh.
And those are some of the things I look for in the young MD.
Don't worry about the club.
It's talking about journalism.
Jackie might worry.
We are rambling incessantly. Using the voices of Hugh Hamilton.
Town I'm getting a whole bunch of like weird stuff going on the telephone here.
Town of Cooperstown, New York. It's Hugh Hamilton.
Of course, some breezes get promoted to hurricanes.
You does, Larry.
It's Hugh Hamilton. My hair grows, sir.
Yeah.
By the way, something.
Why you care? My name is Hugh.
My name is Hugh.
Hugh Hamilton.
Yeah.
Do you know what we're talking about?
We're waiting for the caller. Turn down his radio.
Well, what he was doing is he was agreeing with me, which is always good judgment at the beginning of a show.
A welcome call.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you, friend.
It's just, there was like a whole bunch of like feedback apparently going through the phone. That's why I didn't know what was going on.
We don't care.
You're not a dumbass. It's your phone.
He's not a dumbass.
He could be anything. The reason I'm agreeing with you is because I worked for a volunteer radio station. And apparently, like, the person who ran it had a little kiss ass. And
hold on. What type of volunteer radio station did you work at?
It was a public radio station in Harford County.
I was always aware of the fact that volunteers normally worked at fire departments, not radio stations.
You, I understand it's much like the problem they had in the Catholic Church. That the small town station owner operator would get a young boy like this. And say to him on a Saturday morning, much like you've kidded me many times.
Yes.
Sadly, the fantasy, or should I say, the nightmare.
Yes.
The Hovmore nightmare comes
Hi,
through.
Hi, this is Hovmore, the boy next door. We got a little boy riding furiously on his stingray, ladies and gentlemen. There's little Donnie. He's going to come visit me on Saturday morning, and then we're going to go off to the park. And I'm going to take him under my wing, or thigh, as it were.
You see, I'm Hugh Hamilton right now. Mike is doing it.
Hovmore, the morning mayor. Wear something flimsy, gals.
Hovmore.
Yes, we're continuing our incessant rambling, sir.
Just because you're there. And
okay.
We're Hugh Hamilton.
How things going? Wear something flimsy. How things going at your fabulous volunteer radio station, son?
WMAK Nashville.
Now that Don is, I'm still doing Hovmore, and Don is sprung into Scott Shannon as we speak.
Well, do you want to know what the call letters are so you can harass that radio station just for the giggles of it?
The caller, let me guess, is it KLIT?
No.
That's a great legendary radio station.
Right. No, that wasn't the station. It's at a community. It's at a community.
There was another one. It was K U N. I can't remember what the last letter was. I would like to point out. Oh, I know. They called that station T99.
Right. I would like to point out this gentleman's referring to college radio, which is not volunteer radio.
No, this was a
this guy that's on the line.
Our army is a volunteer army.
Yes. That's right.
Scott, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you to do an East Coast time check.
I had the only Native American show.
And right now, this caller will talk forever.
Keep going. Okay. Well,
I'd like to say hi to all my friends out at 61 WAMU on the campus of the American University. Probably not even there anymore. I don't know.
Okay, well, listen, we're going to move on now. I hope you're okay. It's like a deer out there in the middle of a highway.
Thanks for volunteering.
I'll be with you till 6 o'clock. Dacron Kirsch coming up at 6 o'clock with all your favorite hits. He'll be spotlighting the new Tom Petty album.
What, are you having a flashback to college radio?
Could somebody take a nice little toddy and bring it to me from the tavern, please? I'd appreciate it.
All right, well, the piece of crap station. Do you want me to give you the station call letters?
Don't forget every Tuesday night at 61 WAMU night at the tavern. Join me and Goldie. Jeff Gold will be there entertaining you.
And at that time, how old were you?
I'm actually my early 20s.
Hold on, I'm speaking to my friend, not to you.
My early 20s.
Your early 20s. My gosh. I'd already been divorced, married, had a kid, and in between had banged about 200 skanks.
You are such a braggadocio.
All of them older than me.
You are such a braggadocio.
Hey, listen, when you don't...
Trying to make me feel small.
When you don't go to college, and I didn't go to college, the only thing that I can throw out there is that...
You
I
didn't
love...
mention the fact that in between high school and college, I served a stint in the French Foreign Legion. Okay, Mr. Smarty Pants?
How about that?
I'm going to go because...
Well, then let's be honest.
I fought in the French Resistance.
Let's be honest. I got,
even though there was nobody to resist except those fabulous French ladies.
That's the best time.
And I got your disease, Jack. The Legionnaire's disease.
It was terrible, man.
I had the
all
runs.
All from a toothbrush.
The runs like you would not believe.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember your chick back then?
Yes.
The French lieutenant's woman?
Genevieve.
Yes.
She was beautiful. It was basically high school. A year in the French Foreign Service, which was the French Foreign Legion.
That's right.
I liked it because they had the hats. And then 2 years in the touring company of Oliver. Where, of course, I was the Artful Dodger.
You make jokes.
A little oversized, but I was the Dodger.
You make jokes because that's your job on the show. You're the funny guy. That's
right.
Okay. I just got to say, while you were really living whatever the college life is, you know, from my way of seeing it, a 4-year paid vacation.
I was educating myself.
For most people.
That's right.
I was out there.
Taking courses in economics, Irish history.
Paying the dues. I was paying my dues in the radio business.
That's right.
Plus,
you told me what you were doing. You were banging skanks.
That I picked up off the request line.
That's the album, Banging Skanks.
Banging Skanks.
That was you with the flannel shirt.
I'm going to go.
You don't know what a great thrill it would be. I mean, you're talking about 18 years old, working at night. And you got a guy that's answering your telephones, but you're picking him up yourself. And then after a while, you just tell him, if you get a hot-sounding chick, put her on hold.
Right.
And this is the move, really.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, hold on.
Hello?
No, hold on. I'm telling you how it would be like picking up a chick on the telephone at a request line at a radio station. Because you see, like, for instance, you got a choice.
Well, hopefully, if she's hot, she can give me her phone number, and maybe I can do something with her.
Son, did you know my elementary education was provided by tutors as I worked as a tour guide at the Ray Caverns? Did you know that?
Wow.
They wanted short, young people, middle school students.
That's right.
That could fit in the nooks and crannies
they
of the cavern.
Be short. Yeah.
My education didn't suffer.
Did you know that I was an intern at NBC at age 4? A page?
The youngest ever.
I was a page at NBC at age 4.
You know, seriously?
I'm... And when I was 4, okay, I had sex with... Whoever it was on NBC that would have been, who would have been on NBC in 1962? Oh, Barbara Walters.
Oh, her. Okay.
I had sex with Barbara Walters when I was 4.
I thought you had sex with both Huntley and Brinkley.
That was later.
Hey, we finally got to him.
That was
fantastic.
That was later.
Do you know, seriously, this is not, I'm not joking now. I was a desk assistant at NBC News in Washington, D.C.
Right.
You know that? Does that matter to you at all? You're looking
actually,
at me like you
can't.
I'm not talking to you. I'm having a discussion with my radio partner. Please don't stress me out.
Well, I apologize.
I never knew you had that job.
And when I was in college, I had it.
That's very cool.
I went down there, and they strong-armed me to join the union.
Of course.
First day I was there, the shop steward came up to me and said, you know, if you're going to work here, and I was making nothing.
Hey,
I was
kid.
Making no money.
Hey, kid, come here. You got to join the union.
Meanwhile, there I am, U-Haul to U-Haul, town to town.
Did that too.
Cincinnati, Milwaukee, Detroit.
I was fine until Willard got all handsy.
Evansville, Indiana, Stevens Point, Wisconsin, Nina, Menasha, Appleton, Oshkosh, Wisconsin, back to Milwaukee again. The saving grace of this leapfrogging from job to job was... Oh, all the skanks that could bang.
That's right.
That's the only card I got to play against you, college guy.
I was experimenting. That was my experimental phase in my life. Experimenting with live theater and radio. Deciding what path I wanted to take. The path of theater or the path of radio.
I, unfortunately, as you know, was forced to work to support my family.
I understand that.
At the age of... Well, when did I become a page at NBC?
When I was 4.
Yeah, but, you know...
I consider the fact that I got a full-ride scholarship for unicycling supporting my family as well. And, you know, it was when I went to Marist College, where the esteemed Bill O'Reilly went to school, before I transferred to American University, you know, it was the only college that had a Division I unicycling program.
Let's face it, I always have been jealous of the fact that you're college educated, and I consider myself a dumbass, worked my way up the hard way.
I can solve equations, and I learned how to clog.
You had the privileged lifestyle, so I can just say to you...
It was the elitist.
Because I'm jealous.
Mm-hmm.
You're book smart. I found comfort in the
bosom of unprotected sex,
mm-hmm.
all those years when you were getting drunk with your frat brothers,
mm-hmm.
I was banging skanks.
Yeah. Well, I was. I pleased my family when I returned to the estate, and we were all wearing white suits and drinking lemonade on the patio of the North Wing.
Right.
It was a very special time. My jug band actually lost money, but it was
of course.
But it was fun.
There's no market.
But it was fun. I opened for a small bluegrass.
You guys are having fun. Everybody's writing lines and stuff. I got nothing. You know what?
Write him a few, Rob.
No. You know why? Because you know what I'm coming back with.
Remember, if you laughed at it, Rob wrote it.
I'm just coming back with the truth because that's all I have to offer. And sadly for me, the only thing I can.
The truth is that I did work as a desk assistant at NBC News. That's the truth. I worked in my junior year of college.
And I'm sure at that time I was banging like some 40-year-old.
That's the truth too. Well, I actually...
But how sad is that? That's all I can throw out.
Not that bad. I discovered myself... This is the truth also. I'm not making this up. I discovered myself sexually in my sophomore year of college at Marist College.
Hey.
I will offer
some
names.
You should probably tell that to the doctor.
Yeah. Donna. Joyce. Cindy. And the list goes on.
Same night?
No.
Well, these are all chicks you banged?
Yeah. Yeah, surprised? It happens in college, too, my friend.
Not like when you're in radio.
No,
not like when you're in radio in the 70s.
I'm not sure. I'm sure.
Not. And can I tell you?
Well, I think we're talking about...
Sometimes
you can buy a case of wine,
mm-hmm.
and it won't be good as one fine bottle.
Mike, before I could drive while it was dark outside, when I had a learner's permit that was daylight hours only...
Right.
I was going to high school during the day and working as a DJ at night,
right.
and my mommy or daddy would drop me off at the station, and I would say I would have someone, a friend, give me a ride.
And it would actually be a hot chick?
Quite often it would be like, seriously, a school teacher.
Really?
A school, not where I went to school, but in the town
right.
that I was working
right.
in, the relatively big town close, and so she would... You know, have me, and then I would say, "Okay, you have to drive me home now."
Yeah.
And it would happen like four or five times. It would get awkward that I would never let on the fact that I'm 15,
because
she thought, you know, I'm a young man working in a radio station. She'd pull like into the subdivision, and it's like, "Oh, but she's like, are we going the right way?" And it's like every time, "Yes, we are." The brick right there on the right.
Right.
You know, it's like old man, like, you know, my dad, old man carport, like the Ford Fairlane in one side and mom's car in the
my
other.
My place. How do you like it?
She's like...
And would you bring them into your home?
No, they just let me off. I'd say, this is where I live. And I think out of like maybe this... Oh, happened a lot of times. Occasionally they would say, do you live here?
Uh-huh.
I'd say, yes, I live with my parents. And most times they didn't ask how old I was.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
See? Probably better.
But you were learning book stuff back then.
You know, you're portraying this, you know, super studly, portrait of yourself. Like, I'm sitting around with tape on my glasses, you know, with my nose in a book.
No. Well,
I had plenty of experience in college.
Okay.
Well, as a matter of fact, I was a late bloomer. I certainly didn't start as early as you did, but once I got started, I had a lot of fun.
Okay.
And there was never a tremendous amount of quantity. It was just, but quality.
I'm defensive. I'm competitive. I'm generous. I'm modest.
Yeah. Why are you feeling so defensive?
And good looking.
I'm the one with the panic attacks. Why are you feeling so defensive?
Always.
There you are. Completely calm. I'm over here seeing spots.
I always do, because it's always that you're the smart guy and I'm the dumb guy.
How smart am I, really? I mean, look, I've had the same dead-end job for 20 years. How smart really am I? Yeah, B-minus average. Stop it. Stop it, Shecky. Shecky keeps putting stuff in front of me, and I keep reading
it. It's irresistible.
The doctor says, you're not supposed to do that as much. You're not supposed to write as many things for me. I'm supposed to think on my own. It relaxes me.
Doctor's orders.
It actually relaxes me.
No, actually, I'm just jealous of all you Fs. All you Fs that had the privilege of going to college.
Did you go?
I didn't go far. In fact, I never really officially became a college student. I took some courses while I was working, and then I got a job in another town.
Quit her!
Never pursued it. Yeah, I did. I quit.
Quit her!
What, Robbie thinks it was weed?
Yeah, a lot of his tuition was spent on herbs.
That's right. I ran out of cash.
Buzz resembled, they've run it actually on cable a lot recently in the movie. It's an old movie called Easy Rider. Buzz looked exactly like the Peter Fonda character.
That's right.
And he had the same motorcycle helmet, only he didn't ride a motorcycle, he rode a bicycle.
But I wore the helmet.
With a basket.
It was one of the first.
Really. Yeah, like the Wizard of Oz bike.
Yeah.
And the streamer.
Put his little doggy in there.
And the streamer.
You know what's frightening?
What?
We could do this for 4 hours, and that's just not normal.
Oh, that's frightening.
No, sure.
I must talk to somebody.
Well, I think agreed. Mike, yes. Yeah, let's turn over the cards. We have a winner. Everyone agrees. However, we all agree you should not wear your sunglasses
while
we're doing
the show. I'm comfortable with
them.
I'm trying to do whatever I can to relax.
Reduce the stress.
Are you still there, guy?
Yeah.
He's still there.
Same guy.
Well,
he's hanging in there.
With me, I take anxiety disorder meds.
What flavor? What kind?
Lexapro.
Lexapro.
They actually do pretty good.
Is that a good one, Bud?
I've heard of it.
Lexapro.
Certainly.
Yeah, they actually do pretty good. I don't get stressed out as easily.
Good for you.
So, Mike, what do you think?
Well, am I going to follow this guy's model?
Yeah.
No,
why are you wearing sunglasses? Really,
because I'm really trying to go drug-free, and it's not easy when we get a caller like this. And really, the sunglasses, I feel so cool right now. I feel so incredibly cool right now, and I know it drives you nuts, but, you know, it's time to think about me, and you're just going to have to adjust.
Oh, yeah, you don't ever think about you.
It's time to...
I think we know that. You don't ever think about you.
Because I know this is going to wig you out with me wearing sunglasses.
No.
You don't know.
No, it won't, Robin.
That's why it wigs you out.
No, it won't, Robin.
That's why it's wigging you out.
Which camera's on, Robin? Don't talk about May.
Actually, it's very bright in here today. Very, very bright.
Brighter than usual.
Yeah, brighter than usual. Hey, get used to it. It's the new me.
Turn down the lights, then.
It's turn down the lights, sweet darling.
Hold on. Turn down the lights. How's that?
Now it's perfect with the sunglasses.
No. Mike, it's so dark in here. How can you see a thing?
I can see only one thing that matters.
What faggot?
Every day.
What faggot?
Four hours a day.
What fag?
There's only one thing
my
that matters.
My fat friggin' face.
Your amazing countenance. That's all that really matters.
He's a fag.
your dear friend, the love and back of you.
Now listen. Really.
Rob Spiewak.
Really. Be a love and take the sunglasses off.
All right.
Please.
Okay.
There is.
Something's happened.
He's blind. I'm doing that blind gag.
Yeah, I know. Just trying to have a little fun, folks.
Can we turn the lights back to where they normally are?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, God!
Okay, now.
Jesus!
Now, hold on. We're not McDonald's French fries, ass.
Oh, my God.
Turn them down. Hey, no. Turn mine up higher. There you go. Higher? Yeah.
It would help if we had
lower
lighting that was designed prior to World War, you know, after World
Mike,
War II.
Did you see the designs today for the new studio?
I'm pretty excited about that.
Yes, lower, Ron.
On paper, it looks very good.
You know what this is like? This is like trying to tell someone to scratch your back, where eventually you just want to take their hand and you want to say, no, not there. Because, you know, when you got a real itch and you're going, okay, up, and you go, no, left, no.
It's also a similar experience to when a woman is...
Yes. Your lights,
go ahead.
Your lights are on full. Everyone else can't go any lower without going off.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when a woman is what?
Giving. Sometimes you have to say just a little bit.
Oh, that special favor.
Yeah.
You have to say.
Because that's a special spot, too. Sometimes.
You have to say just a little bit what?
Less or more, right?
Not exactly.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about a favor.
I know you're talking. Okay.
And I'm saying you have to say, you're saying right or left sometimes to get just the right spot.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have to do a little communicating.
Fine tuning.
And that is somehow absurd to you. That is somehow, that has struck you as witty.
Isn't her mouth round?
Oh, I forgot. I forgot that it doesn't matter, you know. I'm talking about the intricacy of the male body, you know, if you have that certain, there can be spots that are more sensitive than others. Do you not agree with that?
I don't know. I'm sensitive for all, you know.
You're sensitive basically, you know.
All 18 inches.
Right. I forgot that you know, it's basically, honey, I'm home, you know.
I'm scratching my foot with it right now.
Mm-hmm.
No, I understand.
And I'm probably going to get in trouble for that sound I made, but I don't care.
No, I don't think you are. You're one of those guys. You've got your spot.
Yeah, well, I think all people have a spot.
My spot's the whole thing.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
I'm sorry.
How foolish of me. I know.
It's just the whole thing. It's just the whole, you went to college, though.
Why? That somehow is bothering you.
Yes, every day.
You didn't go to college. You write very well.
Yes, very
well. You write as though you were college educated. You read more than I do. Probably, right. If you added up the number of books you read a year, you probably read more.
Right,
probably read more than both. I don't know, Buzz. How many do you knock out? He probably reads more than both of us.
Probably more than both of us combined.
Not more than him.
That's all right.
It's okay. I'm fine with it. Really, it's Mike. It's my insecurity coming out. This is good. This is good for me. This is good for you.
I'm enjoying an audio book now that you would absolutely love.
What's that?
It's kind of your philosophy of life. It's called Blink, and it's people that are able to make decisions literally in the blink of an eye.
Right.
And how long have you done that? You did that more than anybody.
I already read that.
You did?
I mean, I think I talked about that. Maybe you don't remember that. That's important to me.
Did you really read that book?
Frida and I, before she died, had this thing where if I wanted her to read, like, a James Patterson book,
right.
She would get a
book.
I'm
reading that, too.
She would get a book that she would think that I would have to read, because sometimes, you know, my reading choices were not exactly her reading choices. Mm-hmm. And she got me that book. That's the last book she got me.
I'm doing that. I'm reading James Patterson, and I've got the audio book of Blink. And that's a tedious read.
We would sit and discuss it, almost like a school book, because that's what she said to me. She said, you should read this book. Mm-hmm. These people are just like you. It's just, you know, that's good, bad, or indifferent. I can make a decision right away and just say, okay, that's it. If it's good,
it's all about the value of doing that. That a lot of people, you know, that we're conditioned to believe you make a decision after getting all the, you know, taking all this time, and that a lot of our intuition is pretty dead on.
Yeah, go with it. So, yeah. But anyway,
let me think about that and get back to you.
You know, you should know this.
Didn't you write the foreword?
I'm the king of that. I'm the king of not making quick decisions.
You should know this. Even though I got that whole college hang-up because I didn't go there.
Right.
I still know I'm smarter than him.
Guaranteed.
I bet probably even smarter than you.
So, you know, of all of us...
Put that in your pipe.
In many ways, that's true.
Of all of us in this room...
I'm getting buzzed.
If you cut open his brain...
I'm the dumbest guy in here.
Rob Spiewak's brain, if you open that brain, I'm not sure. I think you'd, like, see this whole average part of the brain, and then you'd see this oversized section.
Oh, it would explode if you open.
And it would have, like, a Warner Brothers logo on it.
Really, sometimes, I think really probably... The only person I really in a real mental cage match, probably the only person I could stomp on is Joe.
You're a pretty good debater.
Mike, I'm talking about, you know, if somebody comes at me with all the ifs and buts and fors and you know, noun, verb, adjective, forward, you know, a semicolon, you know, whatever it is. They use it in a proper tense. Now let's talk about the theory of relativity. Now let's talk about, you know, when the guy who had the apple hit him on his head and then he invented electricity with the thing. It's, you know, come on, lost on me. You know what I cared about?
Right.
I cared about the Bay City Rollers. I cared about Barry Manilow. I cared about Lobo. I cared about getting my ass on the radio.
Right.
That's the only thing that I'm good at.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wish I was book smart.
No, those other things are not as important.
Really? Well, you do, don't you? You do wish you were book smart.
Sure.
I mean, you play this game a little bit on the radio when you talk about not valuing it, but you obviously, based on your, you know, the way you raised your son, you value it.
You know, and my son thinks that he's got some incredible talent, maybe to work like in the film industry, and he is. And
awesome.
Of course, I'm talking about adult films.
Of course, yeah. A little tougher than the regular mainstream.
But again, you know, well, the apple don't fall far from the tree. And, you know, 18 inches is 18 inches, Mike. I mean, whether you're talking about
you think he doesn't necessarily want to be behind the camera?
Well, see, he and I have had this discussion. Would it be awkward if you filmed a porno and he was the director and I was the star?
Not at all. I watched that show on cable. What's that called? Family Business?
Oh, right.
Yeah. No, that's about the mortuary.
That guy is about as gross as they come.
Really?
No, do you watch that?
I've seen it
once. Seymour Butts, have you seen that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, it makes me want to barf. His mother, his father. I'm sorry. That is just nasty.
I mean, I would not wish my life good, bad, or indifferent on Bart. I want him, no matter what he wants to do creatively, to have, because he's a smart guy, and I want him to have a degree to fall back on. I know I sound like the old man, you know, screaming that, but that really is, that's it. It's like, you know, once you get the degree, then good luck. Pack your car, go to Hollywood, and find find out what a long path that is.
Yeah, I mean, it is the fallback. That's what it is. That's what I'm going to tell my daughters that someday. It really is, if you can do it, it's a good thing to have in your back pocket. Oh. Does it affect, really? You know, I know the best line I ever had from a guy that I graduated with, a guy that I had seen. I saw him maybe a year and a half, 2 years after I graduated from American University. And I saw him at a hockey game. And he, I swear to God, he was in the very last row. And so was I. We both didn't have a pot to pee in. It was amazing. And I said to the guy, I said, so how you doing? He said, oh, I'm doing fine. I said, so what are you doing right now? He said, I'm working at WYRE down in Annapolis, Maryland. He said, how about yourself? How you doing? He said, I'm between my first job. Which was true.
Yeah.
You know, there's no guarantee.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so yeah, I do value a college education.
Of course
I do. Are you kidding?
You can always get one.
Yeah.
A lot of people do that.
Yeah. I rented the movie Back to School.
You're not at that age.
I'll go get a degree in Batman. You know what's sad? What? Now I probably could.
You could
now,
teach.
Now you could find like some dumb TV appreciation class, and I could probably be a grade A student.
This is going to sound like I'm blowing smoke, but it's the truth. And I remember all the guys. I remember all the guys that I went to, radio classes with. And we were lucky enough, maybe one out of ten of them would be somebody with real world experience.
Right.
And I think in that environment, you would have a stone cold blast.
Well, you know, we'll see what happens. Let's get past 2008. Let's get past this week. Let's see if you make it through this week.
I think I am. I feel reasonably confident that might happen. Do
you
I look
sound good? Yeah.
Better color today?
Yeah, absolutely. And, thank God this has really been stream of consciousness, so we got a break. I also did want to mention, at our fan site, and I'm a fan of our fan site,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes I read stuff that people write, and I wonder, you know, like when we were just talking about Bart in college and stuff, you people... I love the fact that you love the show, and I look at the site. It's nice. It's run by fans of the show. Somebody writes there yesterday. It was odd hearing my girlfriend on the air very briefly, and right. You know, wasn't that Oogie? And oh, how must Bart feel about this? You know, well, listen. To you, lovingly, I say to you, douchebags who write this stuff on our fan site. Really, now let's talk about real life. Do you think anything that I do on the radio or talk about in my personal life, especially now, I have not run past my kid?
Really?
Do you not think that he is the single most important thing in my life, that I would give my life, of course, in an instant for him? He is my link to Frida. He is my life.
So you don't tell the fans first and then Bart?
No. You know, somebody, but there was a post... But I just read it, and I didn't get mad, really. It's just like, I look at every, how stupid, because someone wrote like, you know, boy, I'd hate to be Bart and come home, and the girlfriend is there. Like, hold on. She's been my girlfriend for 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
I share because what I'm going to do is tell you what it's like going through being a widower that I'm dating. There's a girl I'm dating. She's my girlfriend. She spent a couple nights in my house. Listen, for those of you Dr. Phils out there that are concerned on our fan site, really, when Bart comes home, she's not going to be there. What do you think I am, stupid? Really, I mean, Frida and I did a great job of raising Bart. My job now is to finish that.
Right.
You know, and things are fantastic with my daughter as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
good.
All things are moving at full steam ahead. Just please, you know, makes me feel oogie about going to this site when I read, and I know they're just unsolicited stuff, and I'm not complaining. I'm just trying to say to those people out there who are really fans of the show and go to this site, you know, come on, use your freaking head. I mean, and I'm going to say one other thing when I talk about, if you'll allow me, about me being happy. I had a long talk with my sister-in-law, Judy, who lost her husband about 6 years ago. And she said to me, like when I read on a website, you know, someone says, I didn't like hearing Adrian's voice on the air. It reminded me of Frida. Well, I'm not going to put Adrian on the air all the time like I did Frida. You know, that's a dynamic with Frida that was built out of a 25-year relationship.
Right.
This is a chance for me to, if nothing else, to open up my life a little bit and show you, hey, listen, there's a voice with this person. Something happened to her at the store that I thought was funny. And that really is...
That's it.
That's about it. To think that I wouldn't tell Bart or you that... Wait, I guess the point is what Judy said to me is that everybody grieves differently. And there's a lot of people who, I guess, and I don't blame you, if you're a listener to the show, you don't think about Frida every day. You thought about Frida yesterday when you heard me talk to another woman on the air. And what I have to learn to deal with, and what you guys listening have to learn to deal with, those of you that I'm not saying you're upset, but those of you that just don't get it, is that I've grieved every day for coming up on a year now.
Do you think anybody, and you can answer this question for me, do you think anybody that's even remotely close to you would feel the way that poster did on that website?
No.
I'm just throwing that out.
No, and Judy said to me, and she was absolutely right, she said, you know, you're going to run into all kinds of people. She wasn't talking about posters on websites. She's talking about real life people. You're going to run into people, and for them, it's all about them and how they feel. What they've got to understand is you deal with it every day, and you've gotten to, as I have, reached a certain point where you said what Frieda would want for me is to be happy. So, you know, just please allow me to be happy. And if you're a fan of the show, and if you're writing something you know, about us on one of the fan sites, you know, just use your head, because that's the only time that I feel of this particular side, unlike the Rupert Pupkin one. Right. It's a nice positive side.
I would venture to say that the person that would, you know, and this is a shot in the dark, I'm not sure whether it's true or not, but somebody that would post something like that would probably be, I equate it almost with somebody who doesn't have kids. Your perspective changes totally, and that would be somebody probably that has never had something like that hit anywhere near them closely. Because it shows that the people, Judy is the best example, your sister-in-law, who went through the exact same thing you've gone through.
And maybe there are people out there who didn't post anything on a website who were listening yesterday and felt oogie about it. Well, to them I say thank you for remembering Frieda, and thank you for feeling oogie about it. Imagine what you have felt times 1 million every day for over 10 months. That's what I've gone through every day. I've turned the corner. I'm not sorry that I'm going to share new parts of my life with you. You know,
good.
I mean, I don't know if there are people out there who, and I'm not talking about in the web, this is just something I wonder in general, if there are people out there who, as my life continues to do whatever direction it takes, and Mike and I continue to, you know, to rock out here, you know, how many people want me to just, I mean, really, what do you want me to do? Be someone who is in the grief all the time and doesn't get out and enjoy life? That's not what Frieda would have wanted.
Nobody wants
that for me, and everybody's just gotta dig that. I mean, Christ, Judy told me that she went to grief counseling and that she couldn't stand it because she sat in a group with people and all they did was talk about all the things that had happened to them since they had lost their loved ones. It was like, no one was being productive about this. I mean,
when the only time I remember my mom lost my father, the first 2 to 3 months, there was one time she got off an airplane and I looked at her and she had aged 40 years. It was the most amazing transformation. The only thing that got her back on track and when she started to get through it was when she started moving on with her life.
Right.
There's no choice.
Right.
There's no choice. And anybody that's experienced that, you know, and I think you probably came to that realization relatively soon
right away.
Because you had people that had experienced it were helping you with it. You have to.
So, you know,
you have to move on with your life.
In closing, if you are on the internet or not, and you're one of those people you're wondering like about Bart, you know, please, come on. Use your freaking head. How many times I got to tell you, I do a show, and no matter what people say, really, it is a show. In real life, I don't fart without talking to my kid about it, okay? He's my priority. Amy's my priority. This chick is my girlfriend, and the life is what it is. So let's kick back. Let's kick back.
And you're moving on with your life, and you're doing the best job you can.
And how about that Rupert Pupkin, huh? It's been almost 40 minutes since we mentioned that crappy little website.
Yeah.
Almost 45 minutes.
Come on now. Come on.
Come on now.
Come on, Shelley.
Okay. when we come back, we've got so many things that we must get to.
Good.
We must discuss 24.
Yeah.
We must discuss the Devane factor.
Yeah.
Oh, and incidentally, I know that Devane will not be happy.
Oh, God. He's inside himself. He's angry.
Well, right.
Yeah, I was reading in today's Washington Post. Hold on. Lisa DeMores writes, I know it's DeMores probably.
Who knows? It's hard to tell.
She writes, this season's dead on 24 include Michelle, her husband,
uh-huh.
Walt, the guy that was hanged, right. Edgar Stiles, Lynn, the guy from Lord of the Rings,
right.
and
Rudy,
Defense Secretary James Heller, who drove off a cliff as he was about to be killed by helicopter-wielding terrorists.
That's not true.
No, now, that's wrong.
I told you, I knew that William Devane would be upset that they've written to the Washington Post that he's
dead.
God,
they've made a terrible mistake.
Yeah, gotta be angry.
We've got that to get to. Oh, but we have gotten so many emails on our website with people asking us, what happened to Lisa the homeless chick?
Has there been any contact?
There has been no contact.
Wow.
But when we come back, the very first thing we'll do is get Joshua Tree in here to find out what happened last, it's in a time machine, last Thursday, the day that Mike got sick, the last night that she was supposed to spend the night in the radio station.
Maybe he has some perspective on why she hasn't been in contact.
Okay, so that's what we'll do when we come right now.
3FM's got it.
Jesus. How long did we move?
About a month.
Okay.
That's optimistic.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
Saturday night in America's heartland, and the Colemans are enjoying a sizzling plate of monkey fajitas. Thursday's a great night for monkey kebabs. And hey, Mom, after school, the kids really love fried monkey fingers. Grab it by the tail, throw it in the skillet. Tasty, nutritious, in just 20 minutes from cage to plate. Mmm, monkey. It's what's for dinner.
The Don and Mike Show.
Even better than a ball of blood. The Don and Mike Show.
Get Joshua Tree ready, please. While he's coming in, I'll throw this out. We were talking about it before the show. That I think it might be time to see if the great unwashed out there listening to us is ready to bring back Strip Trivia.
Hey!
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, Joe Artinger.
Music to my ears.
Joe Artinger's going crazy.
Now, here's how we got to handle this.
Okay.
I think we can do it, you know, as long as we don't titillate.
Tasteful.
We're capable of doing it. We could have naked people in here.
We could have a pile of naked people in here. It's not going to matter.
But really, we don't don't have the time now to troll for calls. It's been, two or three years since we even did it. Let's try it on the intranet now.
Okay, we're testing the water, as it were.
Yeah. We'd like, four girls and four guys. Thinking about maybe on Thursday's episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want the prize. Well, we do have $1,500 in cash.
Whoa.
And a Samsung 26-inch widescreen HD TV.
Ooh.
With LCD and 5.1 surround sound.
Jeez.
And that is and the progressive scan DVD player. Watch the hit comedy series Malcolm in the Middle during Kidzilla weekdays at 5 and 5:30 on DCA 20.
Malcolm in the Middle starring Lindsay Lohan, Frankie Muniz.
So we've got the good prize. And yeah,
that's a great prize. Is that like a whole big screen thing?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's all that and $1,500.
That's a lot of prize.
From Malcolm in the Middle, Kidzilla weekdays. So if you'd like to play Strip Trivia, this is the magic of having an internet site, which we did not, in previous years. We could actually get pictures of the people playing the game. Now, CBS won't let us put total nudes up.
No.
And we wouldn't embarrass people, but maybe they would allow their faces to be photographed, or perhaps from behind.
Bodies without faces.
They would allow, or maybe like they do with fat people on the news.
We can always use electrician's tape, too.
You know, but that's a good look, the Wendy Williams thing.
Uh-huh.
Or, whenever they have, when they have the thing about obese people,
right,
and they got, the baby got back coming out of McDonald's just with a big, gigantic, just cottage cheese ass.
Hello, beautiful.
But they always shoot those people from the neck down.
Right. Right.
So we would do the same thing. If you're interested for the money and the TV and the return of Strip Trivia, email us at donandmikewebsite.com, and we'll let Yanni go through those and see if we have any serious contenders or pretenders.
Fantastic. I can practically smell the cigarette smoke.
we'll hit this over the next couple of days, and we'll see what happens. Now, Joshua.
Joshua Tree.
Jacob Tree. Joshua Tree. Now, your real name is Justin, right?
John.
That's what I thought, John. So it's Jerry Tree.
Your real name is Todd, isn't it?
Yeah. Jerry Todd.
Pretty much whatever you guys say is okay with me.
All right, Joshua Tree. is a guy that works at the station, and he was the bodyguard for Lisa, the homeless girl,
right,
who lived in our office and in our parking lot last, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
And Thursday, yeah.
And Thursday. Now, Mike had his panic attack on Thursday. She was supposed to be back in the office.
Did I scare her away because of that on Thursday? Is that what happened?
No, I think she got scared away before that.
Really?
Because she didn't show up at all after she was on the air on Thursday.
You didn't like her either, did you?
I wasn't a fan of her.
Uh-huh. Okay, but before...
Did Mr. Burbank influence you on that a little bit?
No, I mean, I spent plenty of time with her to know she wasn't one of my favorite people, but I think part of the reason she didn't come back.
Look
at the look on Buzz's face.
Something I said.
Just look at the look on his face. He can't even have the discussion about her.
Before we burn her at the stake.
I don't want to.
In Salem, Massachusetts, let's just find out from Joshua. Was it the fact, do you think, maybe, I mean, that Buzz called her a bitch and the C word that drove her away?
I think that's a big part of it.
Wow. Ouch.
See, way to go, Buzz.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for screwing it up.
Now look what I've done.
For her.
Now, have we...
Did she say anything to you about that?
No. After she left on Thursday, I didn't hear from her again.
Mm. So did you spend the night here in the radio station Thursday night?
Well, sure. Just in case she came back. I felt obligated to be.
Good guy, Joshua Tree. So what was your last contact with homeless Lisa?
Never hold on to a friend.
What was your last contact with homeless Lisa?
Right after your contact with her, when we discussed what had happened Wednesday night on Thursday.
Okay. And so when we talked to her, did we talk to her on the telephone to tell her that Buzz thought she was a bitch?
Yeah, she was out in her car in the parking lot.
She was in the parking lot at that point.
Called her, yeah.
And then after that, she split?
Pretty much, yes.
Oh, so there it is. No further explanation needed. I mean, it sounds to me like that's what happened.
That's silly. My opinion doesn't matter.
Have we tried to call her?
I just hit again.
And?
Straight to voicemail.
Straight to voicemail.
Well, that's it. She's mad.
Have you gotten any contact at all from her?
No, and I called twice over the weekend just to see if she was...
Well, then that's it. She's never coming back.
So on Thursday night, did you think that there was a chance maybe that, you'd be Caesar and, Roman fingers and all that other stuff?
I was excited. I had brought Risk, and I had brought a bottle of sparkling cider, and I expected to celebrate.
Sure. Sparkling cider? You can sneak booze in here, can't you?
And Risk. You know,
this job?
You are a fun lover, Josh.
What, was Clue not available? Colonel Mustard?
How about Mousetrap? Could you do that?
The Game of Life.
Sharing the office with her, wasn't that not risk enough?
Now, see, those kind of comments are going to keep her away. She's never going to come back to us.
I would love to have it wrapped up.
I think she owes us a phone call.
Now,
Buzz is over their mouth. Thank you. I think that would come naturally if we got a phone call with some closure.
And we left her a message this morning saying we'd love some closure, and besides, you need to pick up your sleeping bag.
You just don't get it.
Now, what
you
about...
just don't get it. You know what's going to get her to call us back?
What?
There's one of us that's going to have to make a personal plea, and it's going to have to apologize. And that man is sitting in the news cubicle.
I think I know who you mean.
Michael Elston as Buzz Burbank.
Even if you don't mean it.
Right. Is there something you'd like to say to Lisa, Buzz?
Hold on there. Seriously, music would be nice.
You can do this. Nobody can do this like you can.
I can do this.
And there you
go. Lisa, babe. We were just doing a show. My opinion, it doesn't matter.
Take two. No, wait a minute.
What's wrong?
My opinion just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You can't say that.
No.
Because what you're saying is that you meant everything that you said.
Well, I did.
See, there's just
that's
not a good apology.
He doesn't want to
apologize.
And I apologize if I offended her.
That's the killer.
Oh, dear.
Okay, well.
Oh, dear.
Joshua, thank you very much for coming in for 3.5 days. Please. Try to stay on top of this thing.
Yeah, I think it really should be your kind of mission to try to track her down and see. But obviously she's probably put off by some of the comments, and she doesn't want to have anything to do with this. Even though, what was said, you were tweaking it up a little bit. You hardly knew the women. None of us knew.
No, no one got into me, really.
No, he wasn't tweaking it up.
That was just the sense that I had. See, my goal is to get her back on the show.
What do I know?
Mike, I'm with you. I'd like to get her back on the show.
As would I.
I think the least that she could do, really, the bunt stuff aside, is called just to give us an update.
And maybe a little, how's your father? Right. Just a little thank you. You know what I mean?
How's your father? Wow.
Well, you really talking about with Joshua Tree.
Right.
I'll do everything I can to get her back.
You know he will.
Okay, well, all you have to do is...
just get your sparkling cider and your game of Risk.
Still waiting for her.
In my
you know how to treat a lady, don't you?
So what did you picture this? You'd be like spread eagle on our desk,
were you gonna
naked?
Were you going to play strip Risk?
Well, here's the thing. I don't want to touch. I just want to see if I could touch.
God,
that doesn't sound too perverse.
Like the way he thinks.
So you just wanted to look at her?
No, I just wanted the ego boost of knowing I could.
The internet age. He just wanted to watch.
So what do you think? Do you think that you could have if your sparkling cider was tasty and if the game of Risk was exciting and sensual? Do you think
sparkling cider?
Do you think there was a chance?
I think I could have done it.
Wow.
I could have done it.
Good for you.
You could have gotten her naked?
Your office. And then I would really never sit on that couch again.
How do you think you could have...
Oh, now, there we go. Pile it on.
Another comment.
Do you think you could have gotten her bottoms off, not just her top?
See, wow. What we're doing... All right, say Lisa is halfway here, right? Say she's driving here. Uh-huh. Well, with each passing comment, she's putting that car in reverse and she's driving further and further away.
I'm simply asking Joshua... Do you think... No.
You're tweaking him up is what you're doing.
Do you think that you could have gotten her all the way naked? Or do you think that it would be that deal where shirt up, bra...
All right, someone's got to speak for Lisa.
Undone.
And it's going to be me.
Or would it be pants...
Lisa said, Don, the day she was here when we interviewed her...
Pants unbuttoned.
...that there was not interest. And not Josh said there was no interest. They both acknowledged that there was no interest.
But he's telling us now he brought his sparkling cider, he brought his game of Risk, he wanted to see.
You are indicating by your commentary that this was all Josh doing, that he could, if he wished, seduce her into taking her bottoms off.
With his powers.
I think from the beginning I could have, but because...
Oh, wow.
See?
Listen to this. Well, if you could have, then how come you didn't?
Because I didn't want to.
Oh, you didn't want to.
I didn't want to. But the thing was I felt like I had initiated the, maybe I'm not into this right now, and she followed suit to not look like a fool.
Okay, well, then if you could answer my question again.
You know, back in the high school days, what we used to say.
What's that?
You know, it was when you'd be rebuffed by a woman. You know, when you'd try something, and you know, maybe it was a Friday or a Saturday night, you come back and you'd be with all your buddies on Monday, and you go, she's no good. She's a... And the reason you did that was because you didn't get any. That's what you sound like.
Now I can relate to you.
Yeah.
High school.
Mm-hmm.
Overachiever. Good in high school.
But am I right about that? Did you have guys would come in and they
yeah.
maybe, and then all of a sudden she turns into super slut because they didn't get anywhere with
it? Boy, all she did was bite and bite and bite.
Sure.
And the truth is that mouth was never anywhere near it. But do you think that you could have gotten her to actually take her shirt and bra off and her pants and panties, or would it be like that make-out thing where she would be... Like, the clothes are moved because you're pawing her.
Or nothing.
I think I could have gotten voluntary clothes removed from her if, from the beginning, I had begun working on it. From the start. If I had been...
Wow.
You said you didn't want to, and why is that, John?
I didn't find her attractive.
Well, she's certainly going to call back now. And
Hold on.
In fairness to her, because I am being her advocate here, did she not... say the same thing about you.
Yeah, she did say the same
thing. Hey, hold on. Mike, I'll be an even bigger advocate for her. Despite what he said, he still wanted to see what she looked like naked.
Yeah, well, that's a normal guy thing.
That's just
not with everybody.
I'm not saying she's categorically ugly. I'm just not into her.
Now, there's a compliment.
But you'd like to see her naked, just to see what's going on.
Right. Has your association with the radio station resulted in a better, how shall I put this delicately, a better score for you when it comes to the ways of the ladies?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I look like David Schwimmer to begin with. And second, look at those gay sideburns you got. When did that happen?
11th grade.
11th grade.
Hold on, here is Yanni Norman.
Josh was a bit of a stud when we posted his picture, what was it, Tuesday or so. I got a good pile of emails from the lady listeners who would like to meet him.
Really? Wow.
How about you?
Would you consider banging some of our listeners?
I would. If you forward me the emails, John, I'll take a look at them.
He'll do what he can, I'm
wow,
sure.
Wow, you're a trooper. All for the good of the show.
Right.
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
What is your current status? Do you have a girlfriend, a regular girlfriend?
No, I'm single.
Oh, all right. Very good.
And straight.
What's your last time?
And you are straight? You're not gay?
Yes, I'm
okay.
straight.
Okay. Because, I mean, you know, occasionally you have a way about you that actually.
No, I'm effervescent.
Okay.
As they say.
Yeah. Well, that's you know what that says to me. Sometimes
faggot.
You're a little Vito-esque.
Faggot.
You know, just a little bit.
Faggot.
But you're straight and you're obviously out there and you're. As John just said you're getting some interest.
When's the last time you got some?
Last weekend.
Last weekend.
Yeah.
And. Was she a willing participant?
Yeah, she was a willing participant.
Is this somebody that you met through the radio station?
Actually, yes, it is.
Ah, would this be someone you met at an appearance, maybe?
Yes, it is.
You know, he's totally candid. I like this.
I don't think it would be Rob. Rob wasn't. Was it an employee?
No, not a WJFK.
An ex-employee?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't Mrs. Friends?
Just a random listener?
No, it wasn't a random listener.
Future employees?
No.
Money here, you refer to her as Mrs. Friends.
She worked for a client.
Was it Mrs. Barton?
Was it Ms. Fullman?
No, but if I did, I'd want to be calling them that. I'd want them to want me to call them that.
Mrs. Gomez?
These are all the women, all the beautiful women that work at the station.
Ms. Harris, did she show any interest?
Oh, Ms. Harris has turned me down.
She has?
Yeah.
All right.
Have you hit on, without giving names, have you hit on any eligible women that work here at the station?
No.
You have not?
No.
How are you perceived among the female employees? You know, a subject that really early in our careers we used to discuss all the time.
Have they had
different
you?
People were perceived by the female staff? We've never really done that with anybody here. You know, how do the women look at young John, Josh, Jacob?
What do you think?
I think they see me as a funny, friendly, social guy. That's what I think. Yes.
Loves risk. Do you think that they look at you as a guy who could deliver the high hard one?
I think they would never want to introduce me to their friends.
How far are you willing to go with the circumstances of your last tryst? Like your past weekend's tryst.
Do you think that they look at you and they go, boy, oh boy, he could just give it to me like for maybe 12 minutes?
I wouldn't be lying if I said I didn't think it for a second.
He really thinks he's a stud.
You know, he does, and it doesn't fit his kind of demeanor.
He's low-key.
Which I think is resulting in... Yeah, I'm probably seeing you actually close some deals if you have that level of confidence, but you have this kind of...
Well, hold on a second.
This kind of goofy way about it.
Testing all of us.
And they might not... Do you feel... Because you're pretty self-aware. Do you think it's that they don't see you coming?
I think it's exactly what it is. I think when I'm out in a bar or I'm meeting new friends, that it's a mix of my confidence and my nonchalantness that makes me appealing.
Well, you got to flip him over.
You're an ass.
I like you.
I like you.
What a successful ass.
He is a successful ass.
Hello?
Jesus.
Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have misdialed. Who's this?
Leo.
Leo Donahoe.
Hey!
Leo!
Leo! Hey, Leo. Leo's a guy that I've known for eons. He used to work at WPGC when I worked there. He's a sales guy here now.
How does he perceive Josh?
That's an interesting question. Leo, you were, I think, talking with Josh earlier when I saw you. What do you think of young John here?
I think he's great.
Do you find him sexually...
is he the kind of guy that if you were trying to pick up women that you'd want to hang around with in a bar?
Well, I don't know. That's a tough question to answer.
Is he a good wingman? Would he be a good wingman?
I think so.
Do you think he gets more than you do?
I'd rather not answer that question.
Are you married, Leo?
I'm married.
Ah. Oh, well, then, right, he
happily?
Gets...
Happily? Don't answer,
right,
Leo.
Happily.
How many years, Leo?
Coming up on one.
Wow. Welcome to the radio business, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, bye, Leo.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Did we mention Leo 63?
I was trying to call Julie, for God's sake.
Right. Julie is very honest, and she'll give us a very, very honest assessment.
Is that why I got Leo? Is that the old list?
I expect her to try 2812.
Okay, well,
Fullman, please.
Gary Shandling is handling it for us.
Very good.
Thank you. Hello?
This is Julie.
Hello. Julie.
Hi, guys.
Hi there. It's Don and Mike, and we're here with Joshua, or John, whatever his real name is.
We call him Joshua. We think it's a better name for him.
You know, you're a happening chick.
Thank you.
Do you fancy this lad in any way?
Maybe you could characterize what the female employees here at WJFK think of young John here.
You know what? He's like an adorable little puppy dog.
Here we go.
He's just precious.
There's not more to it than that.
Well, you know what? My niece spent the summer with me last year, and I would have hooked her up with John if she stayed here.
See?
You know, can I say this to you?
He's a nice guy.
With all love and respect.
Yeah.
He would love to crawl on top of you.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
You know, you might see an innocent little puppy dog, but really the P word is here, and I'm talking predator.
I mean, he would crawl on you like a, like one of those Kodiak bears. He's like, you know, bears go crazy in California Zoo. You know?
Yeah, we're getting a real picture of Josh here. We really are. And, you know, and I think that's why we're hesitant to call him by his proper name. He keeps going John.
Let me ask you, Julie, because you are a happening chick.
Thank you.
Do you think, you met the homeless girl, right?
Yes.
Do you think there would be any way that Josh could have gotten her naked? He seemed to think that he could have gotten her of her own free will to disrobe for him if he had really worked it
from the start.
Well, I think it depends on how much alcohol she was drinking.
Ah, see, that's wow. That's not exactly a stunning endorsement there.
No. She was pretty drunk on Wednesday night.
Well, because she wasn't that friendly.
Oh, dear.
What are you saying, Julie?
Once again, she has taken a few steps backwards.
I'm sorry. I'm with Buzz on this one.
Wow.
Oh.
And I was going to bring her clothes. I was going to, like, help her out.
Yeah.
But she didn't want to be a part of our family.
No, she didn't give. She only took.
It's another bitch vote.
Wow.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, thank you, Julie.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
An adorable little puppy.
You ass. Look at him.
You know what?
He's loving every minute
You've
of it.
You've got to have that attitude, I think.
Can I tell you something?
Right. Yes.
You mean this about Julie Fulman?
Sure.
I think you got a chance. I am not kidding.
Mm-hmm.
I am not kidding you, Jack.
Right.
Are you kidding?
My clothes
of
business.
You know what you
Josh,
would
the password is Apple Teeny.
You know what you'd be to her? You're like a big disposable razor. You know what I mean? She'd light the cigar with it one time and then out the window.
Sure.
I mean, are you kidding? My God. She'd be like, oh, you could never tell anybody about this.
Get out!
Get out now, boy. All right, Josh, well, keep us informed, and we'll pass those emails on to you.
I sure will.
From the chicks that saw you on the website. And if you do hear from Homeless Lisa, please do let us know.
I will. Thanks a lot for this week. I had a lot of fun.
Okay.
Guys.
Thank you.
All right, we'll have you on the show again.
There he goes.
Guys, have a good one.
All right, see you later.
Thanks for the help.
Hey, how do you feel about wearing outfits?
He gave a thumbs up. See, that's the thing. He knows the value of the show.
We have a wig.
He is smart in that regard. He knows the value of the show.
You know, if
Rob, nobody's better for this job than you. Select a proper outfit for him.
Not right now. Take your time.
Yeah, think about it.
Take your time.
You know, we'll give them a few more degrees.
There's got to be an outfit. It's been a long time since we've had an outfit wearer.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact,
does anybody remember the television show? I think it was the one that Jim Carrey was on. Was it called In Living Color?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you remember when Jim Carrey played the East German weightlifter?
Female? The woman, right.
The woman?
Right. Sure, yeah.
I think just putting Josh in a bikini would be a perfect look.
You might want to tell that to your doctor. But I agree. I mean, whatever. I mean, God knows.
Sure.
We used to dress Rob up in drag.
We put Rob in a bra and green shorts and a wig.
Those were the days, weren't they?
I miss them every day.
Those were the days.
It's a shame we have to break.
And do you remember the day when I guess you were just an intern and we wanted to see how many Reese's peanut butter cups you could eat in like 1 hour? And your mom called,
and your mom said
not to do it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Your mom is so sweet that she wrote me a note later.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after Frida died, but she wrote me a note saying, you know, and P.S. Really, at the bottom of the note was, P.S., thank you very much for respecting me and not making my son eat peanut butter cups 12 years ago.
Isn't that wonderful?
She remembered it.
Yeah. And, you know, we're just coming up on an anniversary that, you know, it could be a historical thing of you at the... At the Bay Bridge on Memorial Day weekend.
Well, yeah, it's very true.
Do you remember that? All the men you were down there.
Mike, hold on a second. You don't send a guy to the major leagues.
Yeah, you're right.
Without warming him up.
Baby steps, Don.
Baby steps.
Let me just throw out, I think maybe for his own good, a little of the Misco treatment.
Do you mean?
I mean
basically attaching him to something where he can't move?
Old-fashioned duct taping?
I'm thinking about... The kind of initiation to the show.
An initiation,
hazing,
right?
If you will.
We take, well, no, that's an ugly word, but
that's a terrible word.
I call it a way to join an exclusive radio circle of trust.
Uh-huh.
What you have to do is, well, we did it to Joe Misco.
Yeah.
And I think we'll do it to Joshua Tree. Which is funny because his name is Joshua Tree, and we can do the tree stuff to him.
Yeah, it's simple, and we don't have to go as far because Misko was a punishment. It was a punishment, but there's certainly no reason why we couldn't put him in a particular position, whether it's sitting or standing in the proper outfit.
Strap him.
And restrain him.
Yes, get some duct tape.
Exactly.
And then we could do some of the Misko stuff, like shave his belly a little bit and put honey on and put those creepy crawler things on
it. It was like crickets.
The crickets that we put on his belly.
Biting crickets.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be good.
Vicious biting cricket.
I'm sure he's very excited.
Just wait till Thanksgiving. That means that boy will be wearing a pilgrim suit.
Fantastic.
And, oh, it's too bad Easter is past.
I know. We can put him in the bunny suit. Well, we have our Easter bunny.
Valentine's Day. Oh, hello, Cupid. Wearing the adult diaper.
And, you know, the 4th of July just around the corner. And, you know, we're not going to be here for that day. But certainly in advance of that, I would say, Josh, start learning how to walk in stilts.
And you know what? It's not Christmas without a scantily clad elf.
Oh, God, Dewey, that sounded so gay.
So gay.
Did he not go into gay land?
Way into gay
My
land.
My God.
It's like that door wasn't open and you'll find the pun.
Oh, it's always open.
Yeah, you're 90
right.
minutes ago.
We just covered right. it up.
Got a break. When we come back. Oh, I know what it is. It's not Jew to Jew.
No.
Get ready for an old-time twist on a new-time favorite.
Right.
It's Catholic to Catholic.
What? With the same voices.
With the Jew voice.
Wow.
But from a Catholic perspective.
That's Amen.
Right. Our Father.
Who art in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name.
I was just freshly back from the confessional.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned.
So would you mind taking a look at these rosary beads?
They look nice. How much, may I inquire?
Now you're going over into the other thing.
No, I'm not.
They were very reasonable.
I'm asking as a Catholic person, I want a bargain.
I actually was, they were given to me at a spaghetti supper. I got a lot of experience on this one.
Here we go.
It was wonderful. And
I found CCD to be some of the most rewarding years of my young life.
Well, that's wonderful, and I certainly hope this goes over. Otherwise, it'll be a very quick act of contrition for both of us.
Christ is King. And we'll be right back, everyone, okay?
Thank you.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
I am the truth.
Right.
We take Jesus and we wrap him around our reproductive organs.
Man.
And it's Jesus who's speaking to us to take his healing gospel to this generation and to do it now.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
We are with them.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
What about Dr. Phil?
I can't drink and I can't do drugs. What a crummy lie.
Sorry, Phil.
Dude Walker.
Your daily mental floss. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Thank you very much.
I'm really not sure what's next. I think it's more Dr. Phil.
What are you doing, you effing little bitch?
Hey, Dr. Phil, calm down.
All right, now on the telephone is a lady named Carrie Carter. Her website is theangelchannel.com. And it's about the Da Vinci Code. I mean, about the movie.
This is a psychic, right?
She channels.
Is she?
She's channeling Mary Magdalene.
Buzz?
Yes.
When I give you the high sign here, you're going to announce, welcome to Catholic to Catholic.
All right.
With
Don O'Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, that's life. We can do better than that. Don't you think? I certainly like Patrick Fitzgerald and Gerald Fitzpatrick.
But she knows it's the Don and Mike show.
Oh, she knows it's the Don. Oh, okay.
Then just make me like Don Fitzpatrick.
How about Don Esposito?
Okay.
And Mike O'Mara.
Okay. Ready, Buzz?
Just yes, to ready. Give some authenticity to
Here
it.
We go. And
you're on the air. Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's Catholic to Catholic. And now, here are your hosts, Don Esposito and Mike O'Mara.
Hello, glory to God. Christ is King. How are you on this blessed Tuesday, friend? This is Don Esposito.
This is Mike O'Mara. We would like to welcome everyone to Catholic to Catholic. We're very, very pleased to be continuing our ongoing discussion of the controversy surrounding the Da Vinci Code.
Of course, this is a movie that was released this past weekend.
Stirring up quite a fuss, I might say.
I myself was thinking about going to the Jeffrey Katzenberg movie, Over the Hedge. You know, the little ones wanted to go, but I said, Daddy thinks we should watch a movie that's entertaining and interesting, and then we can have a discussion about the events.
When, of course, it was a Saturday visit to the cinema, and then, of course, Mass early on Sunday, followed by a lovely brunch.
Let's welcome now Carrie Carter. Hello, Carrie.
Hi, how are you?
I will wonderful. Go with God, as always. Christ is King, and thank you for joining us.
Carrie,
Catholic to Catholic.
I see in my notes that you channel the voice of Mary Magdalene, who is a significant character in the Bible. Would you say that this is something that's the high point of your channeling career?
The high point of my channel career?
Yes.
No. She's just always been there.
Have you been able to take this opportunity, being as you can, allegedly, and I believe you can, to speak to Mary? Have you thought about perhaps making this a revenue source for yourself so other people could speak to Mary as well? And, you know, who's to say there's not a few pennies in it for you and your website, theangelchannel.com? How about it? What say you?
I really haven't thought about really making it a revenue at this point in time.
That's a problem. I want to tell you something. Do you read the Bible?
Yes, all the time.
So do I.
It's in God.
I know. Yes, praise God. I know that it's, I don't remember. I think it's page 87. I was reading the other day, and it was... I'm going to just boil it down.
Now be careful, because we don't certainly want you to do what you seem to do quite often, which is preach.
I'm doing an interview, and
I've always pointed out to you
it's
that
it's easy to read a psalm.
Preaching is not what we do here. We discuss.
As I mentioned, open any New Testament Bible, page 87, and you will see right there, very simply, what she should be. I won't tell you the story, but what this gal should be doing is... finding a way to market this, finding a way to turn this business around, because let's face it, it's what we do. In a former life, were you not a highly paid attorney, or were you a doctor?
Who, me?
I'm talking now to Mike.
And of course, I did. Before I devoted most of my life to the church, I was a practicing attorney, but that's not relevant right now. What I'm concerned about is that I would have, if there were any dollars to come in through the venture, I would certainly be happy to see the money go to the church, which all of my money, every nickel of it, outside of living expenses for a modest apartment and several meals out a year, goes to the Catholic Church.
The Da Vinci Code made over the weekend $74 million in America.
Not one dime, I should point out, went to the church, to the best of my knowledge. Are you aware of anything different, Carol?
Carrie Carter from the Angel Center.
No, I really don't know where the money went for the movie, and I really don't. I don't know where the money went for the movie. It's not my money.
Well, a tremendous controversy that Mary Magdalene, of course, a tremendously significant character.
A star of the Bible.
A star of the Bible. But, of course, much controversy that she was actually married to Jesus. Mary Magdalene being, of course, the prostitute, correct?
According to Mary Magdalene, when I have spoken to her, and I've spoken to her since I was the age of 5, actually, when I first talked to her, I thought she was... the Virgin Mary.
I'll tell you something that I thought
I
watched the Da Vinci Code, the movie, and I thought Tom Hanks was all right, but as I was reading the book, I thought more, this is a role for Dustin Hoffman. How do you feel? Do you feel Tom did a good job, or do you think Dustin Hoffman might have been better?
Carrie?
I think that anybody that would have played the part would have done a good job. It's the message it's going through, and it's a fun movie. It's something for people to watch and think with an open heart and an open mind.
Is $9 too much to pay to see a film, even a film that means so much, like The Da Vinci Code?
I really thought that Ben Stiller could have done a fine job. I know he's a comic actor, but I thought that perhaps Ben Stiller would have been a...
You think $9 would be too much? So the people who don't want to pay $9, when it comes out on DVD, they're going to be able to get it, right?
Ben Stiller is like, you're being silly. That's like saying, who's another famous funny man?
Silly.
Adam Sandler. You wouldn't put Adam Sandler in a movie like The Da Vinci Code.
No, it's far too serious material.
You would not do that.
Ben Stiller, like many comic actors, Tom Hanks, need I point out to you, was a serious comic actor. I guess that's kind of a contradiction, a serious comic actor. Was Mary married to Jesus?
Yes, she was.
Did they have a prenup? Well, because I know that in a former life, Mike, my partner, used to be a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
And incidentally, always representing the wrong element of society.
If you consider
shame on you.
Well,
amen, sister. Shame on you, Brother Michael.
All right. If I can explain. Would you allow me, Carrie, to explain myself?
Oh, yes. I will allow you to explain. There's always two sides of every story now, isn't there?
What Mr. Esposito is referring to is the fact that during my early career, there were three men of the cloth, three parish priests that I defended against some charges. And, of course, all three of them were found guilty. And guilty, of course, of crimes that were really unspeakable, but I did represent them to the best of my ability. And someone in this room, Carrie, who just can't seem to get by that, has never really forgiven me, as Jesus would forgive us, for doing that.
You have to forgive as Jesus had forgiven. And guess what? There was more divine order because they were found guilty, wasn't there?
Yeah, of course.
So there was a better higher court than you, even as an attorney. So justice is always served.
Carrie, wisdom, you speak with such wisdom, and I couldn't agree more. And I certainly hope that my esteemed colleague, Mr. Esposito, can find it in his heart to forgive me.
Mr. O'Mara, I think you know that for years I bring this up as a way of poking fun.
Mm. Well, it's hurtful. It's hurtful. I say a rosary for you every night.
I don't mean it to be hurtful. Go say two Hail Marys, and maybe you'll feel better. Take a chill pill. Listen,
I've said two Hail Marys while this interview's been going.
You represented people who are less than desirable. When I was a doctor, did I ever tell you, Carrie? Did I tell you about the time that I went to Rome? And I went to a nunnery, and there were all these young women that wanted to be women of the cloth.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, now, before I became born again, I was a plastic surgeon.
Huh?
And I said to the women, you know, as I looked at these women, and I did not look at them in a sexual way, I looked at them as a man looks at a woman, a sculpture, as I've read in the Bible, you know, it's worship the body, it's a temple.
Mm-hmm.
I said to some of them, you know, you might want something to lift, to separate. There were some C cups that really could have been Bs. There were some Ds. I helped the girls, women, if you will, these nuns, get themselves into shape. I'm not ashamed of what I did in my previous life. I didn't. Let me just say.
Why are you being so argumentative? Is that directed at me?
I did. What about when you represented?
What have I done? I made an honest living. I give all of my money to the Catholic Church.
Did you represent the hooligans who broke in and stole the money after Sunday Mass?
Of course I did.
Wait a minute. Jesus went out and he didn't judge anybody. You guys should not be judging each other.
Amen. I really hope
he went out and preached peace and love.
Yes.
You guys should not be judging each other, and you should not be casting the first storm.
Carrie, I have to share something with you. Are you a Catholic?
No, I believe in God.
Oh, dear.
The name of this show is Catholic to Catholic.
We thought that because you channeled Mary Magdalene, that you indeed were a Catholic.
To be inclusive.
Wait, how do you know Mary Magdalene was Catholic?
Of course she was.
I think we all know
that.
Okay. Let's not
when
talk
I channel
fantasy.
Mary Magdalene, I'm Catholic. How's that?
I was 5 years old, Father McDonough taught me that Mary Magdalene was Catholic.
And you believe everything you hear?
Of course I do.
Well, then why don't you talk to God firsthand and ask God what he thinks?
There's no need. My faith
is
stronger than that.
Carrie, what is your given religion, if we may ask? After all, the name of our show is Catholic to Catholic.
We build this show as the show by Catholics
for Catholics.
Well, I just have a great faith in God, and I honor all religions.
Do you observe all the holy days of obligation?
I think every day is a holy day. I get up praying, I go to bed praying.
Do you go to the Stations of the Cross?
No. I have a rosary.
Well, excellent. All right. Was it a hand-me-down? Was it handed down through the generations?
No, it was bought from the Lord. It's a very nice, wonderful.
How much?
Wooden rosary, very beautiful.
If you don't mind me asking, how much did you pay for it?
Always cost with you, Mr. Escobedo.
How much did it cost?
You got
did
that
you pay?
From your father, Joe.
It was a gift.
It was priceless.
That's priceless.
Wonderful. Are you officially a Catholic? Because the rule on the show, we don't mean to be inclusive, is if you're not a Catholic.
Not inclusive, of course.
Not inclusive. Catholic, I was christened a Catholic.
Oh, fine. That's acceptable.
And you're a Catholic for life.
You're Catholic for life. That's fine.
Okay.
And then that's the rule.
If I was christened in a Catholic church, I guess I'm Catholic for life, right?
The only controversial point that we make on this program, of course, once in, forever in. And that, of course, goes against some of the teachings. But, you know, we don't go along with all of the teachings, but we do say once you are, you are. And
nothing can change that. We are also very old school, as the kids say.
Mm-hmm.
That
Old Testament.
Let's face it. I'm sure you agree, Carrie. Birth control has no place in our lifetimes. I have 17 children myself, and Mike has 6. I could not be a happier, a prouder father.
I'd like to also point out that both of our mailboxes, we live in the same neighborhood, and our mailboxes have both our names in Latin.
Well, that's just lovely.
Thank you.
Does the mailman know how to get to you, or is he Catholic?
He knows. He knows the Latin translations. I mean, he knows because we've been there in the neighborhood for years.
See if you can guess the name of some of my children.
So well, he must be Catholic, right?
There's Luke, and there's Matthew, and of course there's John.
How about Mary? And how about Mark?
He hasn't gotten to the daughters yet.
Now, please, hold on. You're kidding. You know, I have 17 boys.
I know.
You know I was featured on Primetime Live.
Be amazing.
When I was, and I'm sorry, it's a previous life, when I was the Beverly Hills Plastic Surgeon of the Year, and excuse my French, I was known as the breast man. You know, it's like a joke.
You should point out the fact
that at a wedding, there's a best man. I was the breast man.
Before people consider you an oddity, you're saying you have 17 children. 16 or 17 children?
17
children. But,
of course,
three different mothers of those, and two of them, of course, who passed during childbirth. You should point that out. That's always important. And don't forget Linus, Ignatius, and Noah.
They're all beautiful, my boys.
No Moses?
My little Moses. Actually, I'm like George Foreman. I've named 3 of my boys Moses. George Foreman named all of his...
parting of the sea, right? It makes fishing very easy for you.
It does indeed. That's
you
very, very clever.
I found
you're
very
taking
funny.
Advantage of that, then, are you?
Did you ever see Bruce Almighty with Jim Carrey?
Yes, I did.
There's a scene
a
where
ridiculous
he,
film.
He takes... Oh, I disagree.
Oh, please.
He takes his finger and he makes the tomato soup like... Moses parting the sea.
If you want to know a really good film, watch The Ten Commandments. It is as fresh today as it was when it was made. I believe it was made in the early 1960s.
Do you have any
and
idea how much money Jim Carrey got paid for being in that movie?
Bruce Almighty?
He's not to the Catholic Church, you know.
Do you have any idea? He belongs?
Possibly.
Of course he does.
He had to be Catholic and give his money away, or he wouldn't have been able to make that movie.
He made $20 million.
I went to grade school with a Paddy Carey, P-A-D-D-Y Carey, a wonderful Irish lad that was a bit of a troublemaker. He had lots of fights.
Oh, did you represent him in juvenile
court? No, indeed. And not everyone that was an associate of mine in my younger days I've represented. It was the priests and the hooligans.
Christ is King, and let's not forget the passage of the day. We'll be reading that momentarily. And later on the show, the taste of your communion wafers. It's something you rarely hear talked about on the radio.
But there are differences, and there are differences in cost and flavor, and we will be going into great detail. Just remember that the church you go to, my friends, is not always the church someone else goes to, and you can actually experience a different flavor at different, and it's something we can talk about.
Speaking of flavor, Carey
only fought when drunk.
Can I take this moment to mention we're having our fish fry on Friday?
How much is it going to cost?
As you know, the fish fry on Friday, what we do outside the studio, we put a Salvation Army kettle out there. We're going to be at Our Lady of the Bloody Crucifixion, and we hope that everybody comes by. We'll be there with our big, gigantic
I think
kettle.
It's a wonderful opportunity to get to meet some of our listeners. It's $9.95. That includes the dinner. Everyone that leaves gets a free loaf of raisin bread, and they can enjoy the camaraderie of fellow Catholics, and we can discuss all the issues we discuss on the program.
And, of course, we have, some of the extras. valet parking is
Virgin
there.
Mary statues for the dashboard of your car, which are, some have said are out of style. I don't believe they are.
Actually, I heard that you can hold it under a light bulb, and the Virgin Mary actually will glow in the dark, almost like the little Hawaiian girl thing that you have that does the hula dance.
Now, here's the trick about the fish fry, and everyone should know this. We only bought 7 fish, but they will feed hundreds. And watch how that happens. It's a trick that we're doing, and then we're kind of simulating a major wonderful story the kids enjoy in the Bible.
So are you going to make fish soup?
You know, when we...
She's a clever one.
She is.
You know, I hate it when that... It wouldn't be fish fry if it was fish soup, would it now, Carrie, my smart little lady?
If you take the soup and fry it, maybe.
You can't fry
and
soup.
Maybe we can...
Silly.
Maybe I'll have a wafer cookie.
We're going to have... Now, we have to break because you've been fascinating. When we come back, we have the Catholic Comedian's Corner.
I guess, you know, now that she's brought it up, I will tell the truth what we're doing. I think it's clever. We're frying 7 fish, dicing it into small cubes, and we're putting that on Domino's pizzas.
Well,
secrets out of the bag.
Union wafer cookie.
Still counts as a fish fry.
That will be perfect.
And an equal partnership with the Catholic Church.
In a moment.
Do we have wine?
Yes, of course we will have wine. Sacramental wine.
In a moment, we will have our Comedian Catholic Corner. And today we're going to be joined by two very, very funny men. Both of them dedicated to the Catholic lifestyle and the Bible. Jerry Seinfeld and Gary Shandling will be our guests.
So look forward to that. We'll be playing clips from their albums, and they're wonderful, wonderful, talented men.
Have you seen the Jerry Seinfeld television show?
Me? Yes.
Have you seen? Now, do you find the Bible messages in that show as we do? I understand it's raunchy. I understand at times they talk about things you should not talk about, but there seems to be the underlying message.
Well, I can explain it. We've discussed it on the show. If you watch it closely, you will see that the character of George Costanza is actually Judas, the character of Kramer is Peter, and the character of Elaine is Mary.
Carrie, what makes...
Jerry, of course, being Jesus.
What makes a good Catholic?
Praying every day and giving all your money to the Catholic Church.
Well, and I guess that I win on both those counts, unlike my colleague here, who I think skips a day or two once in a while as far as the donations. That's why he lives in a real home. Pardon me?
He does a couple extra Hail Marys or something.
He prays every day. I know. Don, you pray every day.
I've written out longhand the Lord's Prayer 18 times during the show, one for each of my 17 sons, and a silent prayer. That tonight I can go home and have number 18.
And I wish you the best of luck. That's, of course, why you require the space. I myself, due to circumstances beyond my control, live in a one-room apartment. That, of course, one room, bedroom, dining room, kitchen. Or I should say...
all your money's at the church.
Yes, it is.
That's humble of you.
But I can sleep at any Catholic church anywhere in the United States.
That's true.
And really, if you have the right type of sleeping bag, you can make yourself very comfortable in a pew.
And you can drink wine and eat wafer cookies.
It's been wonderful talking with you. Without rubbing it in other people's noses, ain't being Catholic just the best thing ever?
Carrie,
yes.
Perhaps say a message or a word from Mary Magdalene to end this segment?
She sends blessings to all.
Mm-hmm.
And she says for all of you to have a blessed day.
Ditto.
Wonderful.
And make sure that you're all Catholic.
Wonderful.
Well, we are.
Pleasure.
We are, and it's good talking to a fellow Catholic.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you, too.
Are you going to early Mass on Saturday?
Yes,
or late
I will be going to the early Mass. And
it's a holiday weekend.
Yes, and that's why I'm going to the early one, the 8 o'clock on Sunday, and I'll be doing the 5 o'clock on Saturday evening also.
You're a show-off, you are.
You enjoy Mass, and maybe I will see you at the fish fry.
Thanks so much.
Can you hold on, please? You'll need to speak to one of our producers.
Okay.
Let us offer each other a sign of peace.
We ask all our listeners now, if you would join hands briefly, as we say fairly well to our guest, and peace to all.
And to you.
And I hope that someone told you that for appearing on this show, you receive absolutely nothing. That is how we do things. We don't have much of a budget.
Sacrifice is godlike.
It's in the Bible, page 1,800. I've memorized it. It's a great book. It's a good read. The Da Vinci Code is a good movie.
Yes, a movie, and of course a good work of fiction.
Thank you, Carrie. Hold on, please. And thank you for being on Catholic to Catholic.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Don Esposito.
And I'm Mike O'Mara.
Hold, please.
Hi, Carrie. Hi, it's Rob. You're off the air. How do you think it went?
Can't wait.
Yeah, they are a joy, and we really enjoy it. We hope to have you on.
Joy.
Today.
Always have been.
Be alone.
Mm-hmm.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Peace be with
you. Rob, you forgot to come up with a name. You would have to have a name, too.
Francis Spinelli.
Francis.
Just Francis makes me laugh.
God. You and the fish fry. You got me with the fish fry.
That was something different, yes, wasn't it?
A little new twist with same voices.
A little mellower, though.
Never try to pigeonhole us. It can't be done.
All right. Go out and do what they say on page 98 of the Bible during this break. Mm.
That's right. And that, of course, passage is enroll your kids in soccer.
Look it up.
It will be right.
Number 15 Arbitron rated The Don and Mike Show.
Did you just feel it, Harry?
Perfect.
All we gotta do is show a little class, a little sophistication, and we're in like 30 shirts.
That's no problem, Lloyd. We can be classy and sophistical. Look at the fun bags on that horse hound.
I'd like to eat her liver with some farber beans and a nice bottle of Chianti. Come on, let's go get a couple of bowls of loudmouth soup.
The Don and Mike Show.
One, two, three.
Yeah.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
They're marvelous, you nasty bastards. Leave them alone. They're beautiful.
Equally attractive to both sexes. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Told you, Rob. I said to Rob, you got a fat jam.
Yeah, baby.
Earth, Wind and Fire.
Oh, I love this song.
Ballina.
Ballina. Now, listen to this. Like the old days. Strip trivia, yeah. Except with the modern evolution of the intro net.
Nice.
Email.
This is John.
Hello, John. This is Don. How are you?
Just fine. How are you?
Have you said hi to Mike today?
Hi, Mike.
What was that?
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
As you know, Yanni is in the back room with his retarded brother, Joe,
mm-hmm.
and is in charge of the email for the show, and came in and said, boys, we mentioned about an hour ago, he's thinking about bringing back strip trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Yanni came in and said, incredible response.
Mm.
Any women at all, or is it all guys?
I got one that wants to play for sure, and one that I'm trying to coax at the moment.
So, if we're counting, we have two women
mm-hmm.
that are playing the game, and how many men?
I don't think
as many as we want.
Unlimited. Thinking about bringing it back Thursday, playing for $1,500 and the HGTV.
If I remember correctly, with a great prize like this. We're going to have, what, five women you want to participate in this?
Yeah, four or five.
Four or five, and usually we have to get about 12 to 13 responses to make sure that happens.
Well, we're not going to pimp it out on the air anymore.
Right.
We're going to let John pimp it out on the Internet.
Right.
So even if you're in your car now and you got to wait till you get home tonight, that's cool. Just email John at DonandMikeWebsite.com if you'd like to play Strip Trivia on Thursday, the return of Strip Trivia.
The triumphant return of Strip Trivia.
Yeah. And, you know, no more dumb Trivial Pursuit questions. We got to come up with some other, Toys R Us trivia game.
Well, I'm sure there are a million of them.
Yeah,
something
of course,
simpler?
Yeah. Well, yes, frankly, Buzz, yes. Yeah, something simpler. But the prize will be $1,500 in cash and the Samsung widescreen HDTV with the 5.1 sound system and progressive scan DVD. It's a good prize, but it can't just be a sausage festival.
Well, that's impossible. Yeah. We're gonna be very restrictive on the guys. As John said, we have more than enough guys right now. We have two women. We need a lot more, and also the prize is worth it. It really is.
If you want to play and bring this old favorite back, email us at the website, and Yanni will give us the update tomorrow.
And here's the best news, as you're saying, because between the last time we did strip trivia and now, I believe America has gotten dumber. And you're going to make a dumber, easier game of it for people.
Right.
So you won't really look all that foolish when you participate.
And hopefully we'll have the people, as I mentioned, at least allow some of their body or face to be photographed on the Internet
if
so you can actually see the people that they're playing the game.
Not a requirement.
All right, Johnny. Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay, bye now.
You can hear it in his voice, can't you, that he's dealing with this?
He's excited.
300 guys.
Play. Yeah. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Whoa.
What?
Hello?
Hello?
Tommy.
Oh, Tom?
Hello?
Is this Tom Gavin?
Hi!
Hello, Tom.
Hey, Mike!
How are you?
Good. Where's Charlie?
Understood that what I got through the grapevine was when I had my little attack on Thursday that that Tom was filling the co-host chair. Is that...
we were doing our skit, Tom and Satan.
Ah, that's wonderful.
Yeah,
I heard it was good.
One.
I heard it was wonderful.
One of my favorite ones.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Tom. Tom?
Yes.
What did you have for breakfast today? I'll tell you what I had. I had a Pop-Tart.
I had eggs and bacon and cheese from McDonald's.
Ooh, that sounds good. You know what I recommend for dessert tonight, Tom?
What?
Vanilla custard.
Vanilla custard.
Hey, Tom?
Yes, Bob?
Do you cook?
Yes.
What do you cook? What's your favorite? What is your special?
Oh, I bet I know what you like putting on everything. Mustard.
Mustard.
What, Bob?
Well, when you talk about your marvelous breakfast, I was just wondering if you cook them.
I don't cook them. They cook them for us.
How old are you, Tom? How old are you, Tom?
46.
46. All right, Tom, listen. Love to chat with you. Mm-hmm. Love to do some more of the, you know, mustard, custard, leotard.
Does he cook at all?
Yes.
Do you cook, Tom?
Yes, I do.
What do you cook?
I cook New England clam chowder.
Oh, that's good.
Tomato soup.
Again, that's...
Just soup? Do you...
It's got to be like someone's bad urine sample.
Do you make it from scratch, Tom?
I had some scrapple today.
Sure, he scratches.
Scrapple.
He scratches himself a lot.
Make that from scratch.
Oh, my
Tom,
God.
Tom, when you warm up the soup, do you have a stove or do you...
Yes, I have a stove. I have a kitchen. I have a...
What's in your kitchen right now, Tom? What's in your refrigerator right now?
Two women?
No.
I have heads.
Eight packs of Diet Coke.
Oh, you drink a lot of Diet Coke?
Yep.
What's in the freezer?
Chicken livers.
Do you have any?
Proficient.
Which do you like better? Which do you like better, Tom? Visa or MasterCard?
Watch that stuff. Pizza.
Pizza.
Tom likes pizza.
Bye.
Tom.
There he goes.
The pizza check card.
Oh, well, the pizza check card.
There he is. Let me see. Oh, on our website.
Yes.
DonnaMikeWebsite.com.
Yeah.
If you tuned in late, there is a $5,000 check there that I wrote to the Red Cross. Sure. Explanation about that.
Very good.
We covered a couple of hours ago. We have two pictures up on the website today. One of them is of Madonna being shocking.
Madonna, the lady has moves.
This is Madonna, and I dig Madonna, and I think her new album is great.
You're one of the best concerts I ever went to. I like Madonna. I like the whole, you know, the whole stage show thing.
I love the fact that she reinvents herself, and really, she's got balls. I mean, she's for a woman, she's she's got huge balls.
She kind of set the trend for... Not just somebody going out and doing a concert, but doing a whole production deal, and I admire her.
But then
that.
On the other hand, you know, because it is the way that I am.
Also, since I dated one of her, one of her background singers, that was always kind of special to
Still
me.
Still a competition, isn't it?
Do you have sex with her?
Yes,
I had sex with Pat Benatar. She had a hit record,
and I didn't have sex with the background singer. Did she give me a ride to the... I gave her a ride to the hotel.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Donna DeLore. Look, a guy's got to hang on to what a guy's got to hang on to.
That's all I'm saying. I'm hanging on that, too.
Mm-hmm.
She's my
only... Okay, game, set, and match.
She's my only celebrity.
Game, set, and match. I mean, that one, I was... What can I say? Yes, major superstar Pat Benatar. You had sex with her. I drove a Madonna background singer to her hotel. That was it. And was a background dancer.
I also...
She was very attractive.
I also smelled Leo Remini's stuff.
Yeah, you got to spend the night. I spent the night in a hotel.
When I was at her house, I rifled through her laundry.
Good for you.
I know.
Mike?
Yes.
Madonna's crazy.
Madonna.
Now, listen. Here's what she's done now to prove. This is, I guess my point is, she's so beneath this. If she just came out and did a kick-ass show, I'd go, okay, you go, girl. But here she is now to be controversial. She comes out on a giant crucifix. There she is. See that thing?
Is she still doing that act?
She is, and it's pissing off the Catholics.
It works.
Speaking of Catholic to Catholic, they are so pissed. This was an opening night at her show in Los Angeles.
That's not just a crucifix, Don. That's a glittering crystal crucifix.
Yeah.
Wow. Right,
we got a picture up on our website.
Yeah.
And then there's a picture of these two babes. Now, hold on a second, Rob.
Babe?
Hold on. Yeah, hold on. This is Rob's story.
Got the Madonna hands, though.
Go ahead. Sure. Here you go. Okay. This is Rob's contribution.
All right.
He is the producer. Says to me today, we were talking. He said, I found a great picture of the Madonna thing. I said, good. He said, and I got a picture of a couple of real babes. And he sends me the pictures, and these are mug shots of women who are older than cougars, okay?
Yes, yeah, way older. Oh, that's way older than
cougars.
Yeah,
they're 70s.
Gold, Jerry, gold.
Okay, and what's
well, the one on the left's way older. The other one's closer to
75-year-old Helen Golay.
That would be over here.
Right, and 73-year-old Olga Rutterschmidt of Los Angeles.
Olga's got good skin for a 73-year-old.
All right, what's their story?
They were arrested this week for befriending homeless men, buying them apartments, insuring them, and then running them over with cars and collecting the insurance.
Oh, lovely. Right, may I see the lovely ladies?
Oh, yeah, Don has the picture. Here you go. I'm sorry.
All right, very good. I got it right here.
They have so far collected, allegedly, $2.2 million.
All right, so we have the pigeon sister.
Yeah, the one on the right looks like a perfectly lovely woman.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think that's Rutterschmidt.
Also, I got tape. This guy, Jim McGreevy. Now, he's the half a fag New Jersey governor.
Right.
This is the guy, remember, that came out of the closet a while ago. He admits to having gay sex at random New Jersey Turnpike Highway rest stops.
Oh, no.
And he was on the news yesterday.
The governor.
Good to be governor.
He was on the news yesterday, and well.
I am gay.
Is that his news conference?
Yeah, and that's
short.
And then here's his other comment.
I am a gay American.
Okay, and then here's his third comment. Again.
I engaged in an adult consensual affair.
That's him.
Thank you, Governor.
That's him.
You can buy the book.
Wow.
Because his wife found out that he was cheating on her because he was having was it a Homeland Security guy that he was getting it on with?
Yeah, the state's Homeland Security guy there in New Jersey.
Right.
Right.
I am gay.
But kind of sensitive in New Jersey.
He says he did the rest stop thing when he was head of the state parole board.
He also tried to, if you'll pardon the pun, he tried to beat his homosexuality by staring at Playboy centerfolds.
Oh, God. You know, I think of the rest stop, the movie is something
about... I am a gay American.
Something about Mary, where isn't that the one where Ben Stiller gets caught in the rest stop, right, where he's with the murderer that's got the guy in the body?
Ben Stiller, who would have been excellent in the Da Vinci
Code. Would have been marvelous. With that guy that's like, 5 and 20, step into my office, because you're effing fired.
Yeah.
Great scene in Something About Mary.
Okay, here we go. From Maxim magazine. You know, you gotta love Maxim, because it's not porno,
right. But
there's hot chicks. They stole our idea.
I wish they wouldn't do all that pesky airbrushing in Maxim.
I know we sound like Howard, but really, really, we ranked women as if they were pieces of meat years before Maxim came up with this
1950s
idea.
We started doing
that.
That's
years
a fact.
Before. You know, because if you look at something like the NFL Draft Combine,
right,
this is where they get these highly tuned athletes, and really, they treat them all like they are racehorses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was talking yesterday about how I thought it was weird the way people are attached to this horse that hurt its leg, when in reality, before the race, nobody would have went, oh, look at that nice horsey. It's just like, how fast can that MF-er run?
Mm-hmm.
Can that MF-er run faster than those other horses and beat that horse's ass with the stick if you got to?
It's a payday.
Because he's a fast animal. We can make money on him. I mean, same thing with these football players.
Mm-hmm.
They get them naked, and they strip them down, and they tape them, and they measure them. And anyway, it's what we did with women.
Right.
What we did with women was we organized a list,
mm-hmm,
hottest to non-hottest.
Mm-hmm. Thought it through.
Maxim went through, stole it from us.
Right.
That's okay.
Clearly.
Now they got another list in the new magazine that I think is goddamn interesting.
Hmm.
The top 10 living legends of sex.
Oh, boy, I bet you I know a couple of these.
The top 10 living legends of sex.
You're in there, right?
Now, let me see. I will tell you that number one...
From his early days in radio.
That's right.
Number one is a guy I have never heard of.
A guy?
Yes, they're all guys, Mike.
Are they porn guys?
No. One guy is named, well, he might be, Umberto Billo.
That's it.
Who is he?
Not heard of him. Mr. Sex, do you know anything about this?
Strangely, no, I don't know.
Umberto Billo.
Look at Buzz going to Google him right now.
I think that Maxim on this one is sort of being sort of funny with their number one. He is a bellman at a hotel in, I think, somewhere in Italy. And
what's his claim to fame?
He allegedly slept with
8,000 women. I remember this story.
And so he's like the Casanova guy.
And he was fired for being too tired to carry luggage.
Well, sure.
I'm too tired, but he's a good boy.
Because the reason they're basing this on being a living legend of sex would be the number of women.
Oh, okay, the prowess.
The number of women that each of the top 10 men has slept with.
I see. So Wilt Chamberlain in there?
Wilt Chamberlain is dead, Mike.
Oh, okay. It's
living
legends.
Number 10 from your Rolling Stones, Bill Wyman.
Oh, you.
Says he slept with 1,000.
That's gross.
He slept with 1,000 women.
That is nasty.
Okay. Number 9 from your Los Angeles Lakers, Magic Johnson.
I guess
back when he still had some magic in his Johnson.
Yeah.
Number 8 from Motorhead, Lemmy. Now, I'm not a huge Motorhead fan.
No,
but even I know this guy Lemmy has got big ass facial warts.
Yeah,
right.
I know when my kid came home with his first Motorhead CD.
Motorhead, man,
and it's like it was one of those things. Like, yeah, okay, let me look at this. I'm looking at the liner notes and look at the. And it's like. This guy, I said, wow.
See, I don't have a frame of reference on this guy. I'm trying to picture what this guy looks like.
He is like a retarded, uglier Adam Sandler.
Really?
But with warts that almost are goiters.
A skinnier, unhealthier Neil Young.
Yee!
With a lot of warts.
But obviously he's bedded a lot of women.
Buzz, if you Google
I will find
L-E-M-M-Y.
A picture.
Anyway, he's a 1,200.
Lemmy.
So then let's go to number 7, Jack the Man. Jack Nicholson.
Ah, of course.
Yeah, would you like to see my collection of etchings?
2,000 chicks.
You can't handle me in bed.
Number 6, Ily Nastassi.
Oh, the tennis player. And an all-round bad boy.
2,500 chicks.
Wow.
Let's move to our top 5 now. And these are guys, apparently they admitted this right. to Maxim magazine, these mm-hmm. totals.
Is George Will on the list?
Number 5, Mike. Engelbert freaking Humperdinck.
No.
3,000.
That's gross.
Now,
probably true.
I know I'm going way back in the time machine.
3,000?
But you mean to tell me that Tom Jones didn't get more stink than Engelbert Humperdinck?
I think it's all by choice. I think Tom Jones could have, but Tom Jones did the whole grandfather thing.
Just ahead of Engelbert Humperdinck, with 3,100.
God.
Friend of this show, Julio Iglesias.
Really?
Number 3, from Kiss. That's the name, Kiss.
Gene Simmons,
4,600 women.
The power of gravity mysteriously dropped my pants to the floor.
And more good publicity for CBS.
Yeah.
The number 1 living legend of sex. He just told Maxim magazine he's been with more than 5,000 women. Charlie Sheen.
Oh, gross.
Charlie Sheen.
He's been with more than how many?
5,000.
Now, do you believe?
Yes.
Do you believe in guys like this?
Yeah. Yes. Here's why
I do. To me, it's almost like the Liddy factor, because if a guy talks about being a war hero, he's not really a war
hero. Here's the thing that I do, and I think one day we actually did this on the show. Maybe, and I know we were kidding earlier when I was saying like I got laid a lot, but I did when I was a kid. For a while, I kept track of it. I mean, when I was a young man, getting into the radio.
So, like, you had the notch on the belt. You didn't just remember.
I remember chicks from cities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember distinctly the first time I worked.
Did I hear an acknowledgement over there, Buzz?
Yeah, I understand that.
The first time I worked in Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
I banged 8 girls. I remember each of them distinctly.
You are really in that mode today, aren't you? You are really beating
no,
your
spring.
Chest today. It's spring. He's feeling his oats today.
No,
he really
Mike,
is.
Mike, I'm not... I've had this discussion
you are
before.
Feeling your 18 inches today.
I don't think that I've had a 1,000 by any stretch, but probably over 100.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, for God's sakes. I mean, considering... There were some towns that were just,
What was your best city ever?
Yeah, best city ever for getting laid? Providence, Rhode Island.
Really?
Hmm. I did so many pigs, you wouldn't...
So it's quantity, not necessarily quality.
Oh, absolutely. Please, I was picking them up off the request line.
See, when you think of somebody like Magic or you know, somebody that's in the public eye like those guys,
right.
Probably not only quantity, but... Now, Charlie Sheen, I don't think that's the same thing.
Now, keep in mind, also, I'd just like to point out, just on the Studley factor here, that, you know, married when I was 18... Mm-hmm. Divorced before I was 19, so for a year there, it was just one,
mm-hmm.
and then went 19 till I was about 21 when I've had Frida,
mm-hmm.
when I fit all the rest of them in.
Right. Right. So it's a incredibly concentrated.
Time was of the essence.
It was. Yeah. Right. Oh, and Milwaukee was a good town, too.
You.
Milwaukee was a good town.
Yeah.
Milwaukee, you know.
I'm thinking Thunder Thighs in Milwaukee.
You know, Milwaukee was the best for when I worked at Fun Love Milwaukee? The deal was that there was a bedroom in the radio station.
Oh, that's right. You told me about that, like, in the back?
Because they were very concerned.
Was that the trailer you were talking about?
No, that was the W Rock F truck.
Oh, all right.
But at Milwaukee, they were very concerned, like, about the power going off or a bad storm. So there was, like, an emergency bunker room.
Really? So technically, you've had Milwaukee's best.
And what's great is that you get the chick to come to the station, and like she'd stand there and watch you do the show and stuff, and right. You'd be done, and then you would go downstairs, you would bang her, and then like you know, just like Tony Soprano,
right?
I mean, you wouldn't even drive her home; you'd leave and go get in your car on the radio station parking lot. Hey, it's been nice listening to you. I'll call you tomorrow night on the secret number. Okay, honey, you do that. Bye bye.
Convenient.
Was a different time, Buzz.
Yes, it was.
It was a very different
time.
You know, unlike you, I will say that every woman that I've ever had any kind of, it was always a sensitive, wonderful relationship. That's, that's where we part company a little
Hello,
bit.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Don and Mike. Long time listeners. Don, can you tell us again about the time you banged the midget?
Oh, that was to win a bet.
And that's only a half
People
credit, right?
Love
yeah,
that story.
That was to win a bet. Although, you know what? If anybody in the radio industry ever really wanted to, what do you got there, Jim?
Lemmy.
Oh, you got a picture of Lemmy finally?
That is one ugly dude.
Any ugly? Hold on a second. Nasty Hello,
looking guy. Lemmy.
Don and Mike show. Hello,
Don Mike.
Hey,
I don't think you gave Lemmy's words justice. I too have been in the position of having to describe those words. And my best description would be two big black spice gumdrops.
Ew!
Yeah,
that's what they look like.
Are they like Aaron Neville?
He's fugly.
No, bigger. More raised. Two of them are
really
left cheek.
Gigantic.
All right, thank you for Oh, man, I see friend. One right yeah, there. It's yeah. just hanging off.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a break.
Don't pick it. It'll get infected.
I'll talk about the midget some other time.
Well, you know, congratulations to Lemmy Kilmeister. Kilmister.
The thing about the midget, though, is that was a bet.
Yes.
And that was like, I could have included that in my queerest moment thing, in which we'll get back to eventually, those letters.
Right.
Because really, there were a bunch of guys hiding in a closet
right.
watching me get it on with this girl, but we were under the covers.
Right. You know, we've always taken the sex quiz on the show over the years. Were you ever photographed or...
No.
Did you ever have a videotape taken?
No, to the best of my knowledge, no. But I'll tell you one thing real quickly that I laugh at almost... monthly, whenever this guy gets his picture in the radio magazines, there's a guy who's a real radio big shot now. His name is Jim Ryan, and he runs a bunch of stations in New York. He's like the brainiac of light rock or whatever that he does. I'm sure he would never want to admit this and probably doesn't appreciate me mentioning this on the air, but back in 1980 at WDRQ, the Q Crew in Detroit, Big Jim's the guy. That was his name, Big Jim Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that...
Is there a reason they called him Big Jim?
No, he's just, you know, this is one of those things.
Okay, radio, I'm just curious. Thing. Yeah. Well, yeah, there are a lot of big guys.
Yeah. He's the one that spearheaded the...
Spearheaded.
I'll pay you $50 if you do it with the midget.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
you said you enjoyed that experience with the midget. Did you enjoy it because of the little person, or did you enjoy it because there were people watching you?
Yes.
There were men watching you.
He was covered.
Yes, I was covered. But just think about this, and this is only for people in the round. Why am I saying this? It's going to ruin a guy's reputation. You know, the guy now really is like a champion of the radio industry. I can tell you that
everybody grows up.
It was 2006. I can tell you that 26 years ago, here's what Jim Ryan was doing about this time. He was peering through an empty townhouse because he was getting ready to leave town. And it had those little shutter shades on the...
In the closet?
Yeah, and he was in there with three other guys, and all I could see was his big, gigantic, oversized, hippie glasses and his big Jeff Lynne haircut.
So you made eye contact with him while you were doing that?
Afterwards. Afterwards.
After this was done, I'm curious, how many guys came out of the closet?
Hey!
She left.
How do you mean?
She left, and then there was three of them... Got out of the closet, and each of them gave me
like high fived you and stuff.
He gave me $50 and and then we did some narcotics.
Oh, God.
Wow. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. My God.
Why would I make that crap
up? You don't need to make that up. That's incredible.
That's what it was
like.
That's
James Ryan, broadcast executive.
That'll be in your book of short stories.
Yeah. He doesn't sue me first.
Oh, God. It's a legend.
He was a good guy.
Probably a radio name, too.
No, it's the same guy, Mike.
Oh, good. I'm just trying to help.
I know, but
long
I'm
just
ago.
Trying to help you there.
Yeah, same guy, Big Jim. Listen, we've talked about a lot of things today, except, bingo, what was on last night, 24.
Yeah. 24.
Season premiere. I think we've talked about everything except our feelings on that show, and more specifically, speaking for all the Vaniacs, we will cover that in a moment.
Good. The Forgotten Man.
Yeah. Are you insane?
The Forgotten Man.
My handsome man.
My handsome man. Tony, the Louvre.
We'll be right back, Devaniacs.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
All right, hold on. We got a variety of things. This is old. I mean, from The Sopranos.
That's the thing with the gays. Just to live it in the closet. Make some devious.
That's Sil.
Yeah, okay. Oh, hold on.
Hey, Sil, how you doing?
That's good.
I'm still do it.
Anybody stay up last night watch that game?
Dallas battles back from validation from Dirk Nowitzki.
The celebration is on in Dallas. And 18-7, Dallas won since San Antonio took that three-point lead. They win it overtime, 119-111.
What a freaking game.
Wow.
Hey, you know what, super producer?
What's that?
You know what? Call Beth Ann and seriously, find out Mark Cuban's phone number.
Okay.
Might be a good time to have that big doofus back on the show.
To congratulate him on Dallas.
Yeah. That was a great game last night. I mean, the Clippers got blown out. That wasn't anything. But boy, you know, and I was just about to go to bed right when San Antonio looked like they're just going to walk away with this thing. They came back.
Is that a heated rivalry because of the Texas thing?
No, just because San Antonio has been so good for so
right.
long.
Right.
You know, and Dallas has never been good enough to do dick.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, big game last night. One more tape we'll try out here, then we'll move on with the show. Oh, this is John McCain being heckled. He's speaking at a graduation, and somebody from the audience yells at him. When do they yell, Rob?
We're graduating, not voting.
Because you got to listen carefully, and this would be what we go to the break with here.
We'll build no monuments to virtue, claim no honored place in the memory of posterity, offer no worthy summons to the world.
We're graduating, not voting.
All lives.
Tough crowd.
Wow.
Tough crowd.
Yeah, that's a tough crowd. I tell you, get no respect at all.
Yeah, we'll try this one now.
You stupid. I'm going to punch your eyes out. I'm going to burn the house down. I'm going to cut you up with a razor knife.
He's out of control.
Your destination for disappointment. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, crazy horses. Who didn't watch? Who didn't watch last night? We've all got an opinion about 24. I think most of us agreed it was pretty good.
Yeah. If you're able to suspend disbelief, it was one of those type of episodes.
Sure, yeah.
It was pretty intense.
Just got to tell you that I'm reading today in the Washington Post.
What do they say?
Lisa DeMores, we've tooled on before. She writes about what happened on 24, and she writes, here's the season's dead on 24.
The season's dead. Bring out your dead.
Michelle, her husband, Tony.
Dessler.
Yeah, Michelle Dessler and Tony.
Tony Almeida.
Walt Cummings, the guy who was hanged.
Right.
Of course.
Murdered.
Edgar Stiles. The
nerve gas.
Right. Yeah. Lynn McGill, the guy from Lord of the Rings who was also
nerve gas.
Right. And then she writes, and Defense Secretary James Heller, who drove off a cliff as he was about to be killed by helicopter-wielding terrorists.
No.
Now, if you remember, Audrey Raines was told by Jack Bauer and the people at CTU that her father had survived.
Okay. Told specifically that he was in ICU.
The lady who writes the TV column for the Washington Post says that William Devane's character is dead, and he was not featured last night on the show. What's happening, Devane?
I'm not happy, Jack. I'm sitting over here, and I will tell you right now, I've been completely boycotted. I'm a depressed man.
Sure.
I could have saved the country, and I should have been featured in at least one of the last three episodes. But no, off the cliff I go. And that little chippy who writes for the Washington Post doesn't understand what the Devaniacs understand. I was not killed off. I was sent to the ICU. I actually survived. I'm flipping upset. That's all there is to it. How can you have President Logan arrested by federal marshals? Meanwhile, I'm still lying, dying in a hospital bed. It's inconceivable, and it's also classified.
Now, do you have any links to China? Because apparently it's the Chinese.
Aha!
They got Jack Bauer on a boat to Shanghai.
And now we're talking, Jack. Now you've put your finger on something very significant.
Yeah.
I'm going to say to everybody in your listening audience that there's only one member of the administration who has expertise in the area of Asian affairs, and that is Secretary Heller, otherwise known as yours truly, Bill Devane. And I'd like to say to the Devaniacs, if you'd like to see me on the following episodes of 24, when Jack, who's clinging to life, I should say, barely surviving, what you have to do, get the Devaniac phone tree and make sure you share with all the Devaniacs the fact that I've got to come back to save not only the show 24, but the country, Jack.
But hold on. The country is safe now. The bad president was arrested. They already have said that the new vice president will take over.
Let me throw this out at you.
We got the nerve gas.
How about this?
Yeah.
No. How about this?
Okay.
Maybe my ICU hospital bed is on that flipping boat that says Shanghai on the back of it.
Your hospital bed would not be on a big cargo ship.
The most
to Shanghai.
Important mission I will have in the following episodes of 24 will be to extricate Jack from China, because otherwise they are going to murder him.
You must have been.
What they're going to do is play with him like he's a human voodoo doll.
You know, I thought you
were... He's going to be a pincushion, Jack.
Your spot on the show last night
was
taken by the addition of Chloe O'Brien's British husband.
That bastard! What does he do except mumble his lines? I'm a TV veteran. He has no experience to speak of. Have you ever seen him in anything? No, you haven't.
You know,
have you
seen
ever
you
seen me in anything?
Knots Landing!
And I played a Kennedy. I played the president, Jack Kennedy. That's what Bill Devane does. But no, let's bring the British bald guy on to hang out with the retarded girl who erased the evidence against President Logan. It's a travesty, Jack,
you don't
and I'm not going to sit here and stand for it. And I'll tell you, whatever I have to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to use every resource. Excuse me. My upper plate has slipped a little bit. I'm going to use every resource, Jack, at my disposal to make sure that I get back in that administration and I thrive on 24. I will flip and blow your mind with my Devane karate. Do you realize that? How many of those characters, and I include Blondie, Sutherland?
Yeah.
I include him in that. Is he a master? Is he a master?
Is he
a master of the martial arts as I am? Does he practice taekwondo?
You're not a master of the
martial
arts.
Does he get up in the morning and after he brushes his teeth? A process that takes 3 hours, I should add. Does he practice tai chi?
You're a soft old Hollywood actor. That's fine with me, but I urge
everyone to watch William Devane on 24 next year and get ready for some real hardcore kung fu action.
Wow. Now, what are you going to do if it comes down to it, and you don't get the call back when they start filming the new season?
I'm going to sue the network.
Yeah. Sue Fox?
I'll sue Fox.
Good for you.
If that's the case, what I will do is I not only will sue Fox, but look for me to barge onto the set when that candy-ass Shepard Smith's delivering one of his news bulletins. And then I'll show him what for. You know, this mane of Devane hair is going to be seen on primetime network television, Jack. Or my name is not William Devane. Secretary Heller, if you will. I can bust a brick with my flippin' fists of fury. Seriously. You see this forehead? This is an experienced Hollywood insider forehead that can break a cinder block as easy as I can say Jack Spratt. What do you think of that?
And George Hamilton could kick your ass.
Season six will feature my judo skills and a newly shaved head. That's right. That's what I'm going to do to compete with Chloe's husband. I'm shaving my own head. I'll look better than Lex Luthor. Kevin Spacey, that fag's got nothing on me.
Hey, what's...
It's going to be very exciting. Here's the plot. I've submitted several scripts to the producers, and I've got them with me in my valise.
What's your judo joke? Don't you have some judo joke about
it's
bagels?
It's a Karnak joke. Judo.
Yeah. Pardon me.
Bagels made up.
Excuse me. I'm personally offended by that kind of humor. I don't appreciate you taking my segment where I'm going to read some scenarios from my various treatments that I've submitted to the network for season 6 of 24.
That you have submitted.
Yes.
This is not the network coming to you. This is you going to the network.
We all know that Jack Bauer's been, and here's the thing, they're not idiots, shanghaied. He's been taken to China on a boat where they're going to beat him like a redheaded stepchild.
The boat says Shanghai on it.
Secretary Heller, here it is. Page 1. On season 6 or 24. Season 6 features Secretary Heller going to China in his specially outfitted submarine. Getting to China and rescuing Jack from the Chinese terrorist.
That's your idea?
That's one of them. I have several. But one of the things you have to understand when you're a Hollywood insider, Jack, is you've got to give all these people options. Season 6... Episode 2. Secretary Heller, along with his daughter, Audrey Range, get into special superhero suits and fly to China, where they release Jack and turn him over to the vice president, who will now be the president.
That's not going to work.
My new trademark will be a karate outfit. I strike a pose and yell, hi-ya! There you go. It's Bill Devane against the ninjas. This can't miss. Season 6, Episode 3, I swim to China and speak to Fitch. Give me a break, Don. And I'm using your real name now, Jack.
I think Mike Novak is a guaranteed comeback.
It's Novak. For the love of Christ, get the man's name right, all right?
What, are you insane?
And listen, I'm not... Are you insane? That is classified. Here's the sensitive episode.
Yeah.
If they can't go for all the ninja karate stuff, Bill Devane's got an even better idea.
Okay.
I get together with Secret Service Agent Aaron.
He'll be back.
And we do a veto number.
Yes.
We have a gay love affair.
Oh. Oh.
Goodbye.
Bye, Bill. Hold on, I didn't mean for that to happen.
I'd be back in.
I didn't mean for that to happen.
Shut him out.
We have so many goddamn buttons there.
In a world where only radio was strictly forbidden,
why did you escort me out? Don't you know who I am? I'm Bill Devane. In some circles, Jack, that's Hollywood royalty. Something you might want to remember. Next time you're pushing your buttons. Very good.
Mike Novak is coming. Mike Novak is coming back. Right. The Aaron Pierce, the Secret Service guy is coming back.
All I ask is
Chloe's coming back. Bill's coming back, the guy that runs CTU. Oh, and how about when he put the hit on that George Washington looking woman, that big
man,
big linebacker? Yeah.
Totally unbelievable. You know what would have been credible? If I hit on her. We're both closer in age.
Mm-hmm.
I said that to the producers. They were having nothing of it.
Huh.
Why don't we have a scene? Open up. Scene. The last episode of season 5 and 24 opens with a long shot of a bedroom. And it's Secretary Heller in bed with the head of Homeland Security. It would have worked beautifully. But you know what they are? They're candy stripers. That's what they are. They don't know who I am. Mm-hmm. Bill Devane, television royalty.
You're flipping Bill Devane.
I'd like to see Gene Smart tease my Devane. That's for sure.
Oh, Buzz, what do you have on your news show tonight?
She's
Buzz?
Grade A prime meat.
Tonight,
she is.
Tonight, lawmakers making life more secure for your dog. Is PMS becoming a thing of the past? And
I've got it right now.
News about guys' things.
You know why they kicked me off the show?
Why?
One little faux pas. One little mistake on the set.
What was that?
Gene Smart walked onto the set one day, and I grabbed my crotch and said, hey, grade A top sirloin. And they said I was gone.
For news and comments. Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Bill Devane, that was very...
professional, Jack.
Jesus. Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike.
Wait till Friday, Rupert.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
A handsome man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
All right.
They'll suck the power out of ye. Don and Mike.
Buzz Gurley's news weather music program brought to you by Frank's Red Hot. Bringing authentic buffalo flavor to all your favorite barbecue foods. Buzz, if you give me 1 second, I've got to respond very quickly. People think I'm reading a DCR TV.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
This is in the mailbag. Someone who says that they're a fan of the show.
Okay.
It pains me to say this as a fan of their show, but I think I have to call BS on Don's check for $5,000.
Hmm.
I hope he really did write a check, but if he did, it's not the one pictured on their website. The check on their website is drawn in a Crestar checking account with a low check number. There has been no Crestar for years. They merged with somebody back in 1998 or 1999. Now, just to be clear, this is a poster writing this. I don't lie when I say I'm going to give money to charity. The check that was on our website was not the actual check.
Of course not.
The actual check was the one before it in sequence. The reason I use checks that say Crestar is that they are the only checks that I have that have my name on them.
Mm-hmm.
All of our other checks, when the bank changed names, had Frida's name on them. Mm-hmm. I've got about 500 checks that have my name and her name on them. You can take it to a SunTrust bank,
mm-hmm.
and the checks still works.
Sure.
Right. The routing numbers and everything are right.
That is my point.
Somebody's thinking too much.
You know, I mean, really, do you think I'm that stupid that I'm going to get on the radio and say I'm making a donation to the Red Cross, not because of the guy at DCR TV, but because I went through that whole thing, what, and I'm going to put a phony check up? Or I'm not going to really give the money?
Right.
Please. Now, just to reinforce this, because, I mean, that's, you know, say what you want about me, but Jesus, and you're a fan? And of course, that post made it right up there.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Joe.
Hi.
Now, seriously, like when Joe buys, like, my Slim Fast and Diet Cherry Coke and stuff, I oftentimes don't give him cash. I give him a check. Haven't I given you a check? Do you remember looking at the bank on the checks?
Sure.
Ain't it the same one as on the website?
Yes.
And they work.
Of course they do.
Yes.
I can't remember what my old bank was. I guess it was Nations Bank, but I still have Nations Bank checks. They still work.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. I just wanted Joe because there's a real guy. And
who gets checks
even,
from
even somebody that writes something anonymously, mm-hmm. which is the magic word again, on this DCR TV thing.
Right.
You know, hey, first off, if you're a fan of the show, email the show or call the show.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just post something like that. And know this, you ass, whoever you are. I'm a lot of things. I'm not a liar. Jackass. I gave the money to the Red Cross. I gave them plenty of money to the Red Cross. Kiss my ass, Crestar, SunTrust, Nations Bank, Cardinal Bank. Kiss my big white ass.
You're not saying that to the bank. You're saying that to the poster.
Anything else you'd like to add to help back me up on this, Joe?
Yeah. Don and Mike's show brought to you by Head-On. Head-On products are available without a prescription at retailers nationwide. Try Head-On today.
You know, that's a better British accent. He's worked on it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Judd.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Robin Leach-esque.
All right.
Not as charming.
Well, that was a way to work the extra commercial in that we didn't read today. And also, I shouldn't obsess over stuff like the intro net, but, you know, Christ, really? I mean, even if it's a posting on an internet site.
Not Christ, true. You know it ain't easy.
You know, instead of give the money, we got a picture of the check.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think it's right because there hasn't been a Crestar for years.
Well, that's what people do.
As a fan, it pains me to say this. As a fan of their show.
It doesn't pain that person to say this at all. So what you have to do is examine the credibility of the poster because he's saying it pains him, but it doesn't pain him.
But I have to think I called BS on Don's check for $5,000. I hope he really did write a check, but if it did, it's not the one pictured on the website. It's drawn on Crestar account. Oh,
that's the bank I bank at. Crestar.
On a Crestar checking account with a low check number.
Uh-huh.
Like that has any, like, yeah, it's like check 273.
Right.
Check it out, dude, if you pardon the pun. Mm-hmm. My wife died about 10 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone through about 50 checks since then.
Right.
Okay, that was it. It just went, it's credibility, like I said, and it's my problem for bringing this on myself yesterday, for talking about a charity in a way that I don't think I really should. I was like jerking around with, you know, donating money to a charity.
Right.
Okay, that's it. You know, my word pretty much is all I got left at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Here now is his Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi,
and, of course, my incredible
size
of sexual conquest.
Right. Your size, your jerk.
And that as well.
You tell him, beer can.
Tall boy. tall boy, Mike. Foster's.
Wow.
Whoa.
Hi,
Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
Hi, Buzz. Hey, you rolled up your sleeves.
I did.
Yeah, that's because it's time to get down to the business of news.
Time to get my hands dirty.
Okay.
Sure, there were pictures of real human suffering on TV after Hurricane Katrina, but what lawmakers remember in this election year is that shot of a little boy losing his dog during the evacuation. So yesterday, they passed a law requiring pets to be considered in all future emergency preparedness planning. 600,000 animals did die because of Katrina, but nearly half of all Americans think the government's not ready to help people in the next disaster.
Well, we're very worried about that horsey that hurt his leg.
That's right. Yeah. We love animals.
I love animals, too, but Jesus, if you've got, like, a person that's on a rooftop dehydrated and you got a rescue crew that's going to pick up Fido next door, give me a break. This is BS. This is just trying to make it look good.
Yeah. Animals are now covered, Mike, by the Pet Evacuation and Transportation Standards Act, sponsored by California's Tom Lantos.
The dog
by her swimming.
Dog swimming down Bourbon Street. Dogs are good swimmers.
Yes, they are. Some enjoy it.
I'm a little pissed at pets anyway.
Really? Oh.
Can I just say something publicly?
Please, I think we should. Good time.
Beluga.
Yeah? What do you
know? Your girlfriend's dog?
Beluga, if you're listening to me.
Yes.
Like, all I wanted last night was you to just, you know, maybe come over and lean up against me. It was a little cold. Carla was sound asleep.
Hey.
And I was holding on to Beluga.
Daddy's got some peanut butter.
And I was holding on to Beluga.
Uh-huh.
And
I don't want to hear the rest of this.
Stop it. You're making this ugly.
Oh, sure I am.
This is a sweet moment.
Beautiful, beautiful, lovely moment.
Oh, dear. I'm getting that feeling again.
Where'd you scratch him, Mike?
I scratched him on his little noggin, his little head, and not his little head. you know, nothing I can say now.
That's right.
Nothing I can say. But really, I know that he's obsessed and loves Carla. I know he does.
Mm-hmm.
But at one point, I sat there and I said, "You're such a good boy." And I said, "You're such a good little boy. You're such a good boy. You're a wonderful little dog." And I took my arm away, and he stood up, and he got up, and he just went 2 inches to the right and leaned on Carla and then gave me a look that was just like, I don't like you.
She may be unconscious, but I prefer her.
Exactly. Yeah. And I felt completely alone for that one split second.
Sure.
And Beluga, I just want you to know that hurt me. That really hurt.
Do you ever think maybe you shouldn't force yourself on the dog?
No means no.
All right. I'm done talking about this because none of my colleagues are going to take this seriously. My pain, my emotional distress that I was trying to, you know.
You want pain? I didn't even tell you today. Oh, I'll tell you tomorrow about dogs.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
You know how I spent 6 to 6:30 this morning?
Oh.
Having sex with your dogs?
Well, yes. But when I was done, running around. You want to talk? When the vet says to you, "Bring in a urine sample for the little one."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Exactly how do I do that?" He said, "You got two choices. You can bring the dog in, and we'll put a catheter in, and we will take one out."
Right. Yeah, that's the one you take, right there.
Well, no, I don't want them to stick a thing in my dog's thing. So he said, "What you want to do is get like a little NyQuil cap or something around that size. Follow your dog around." Well, I'll tell you about it tomorrow. I did it today.
Did you squeeze him?
Yeah, and you're telling me about peanut butter.
I got it all over me.
Wow.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
What can I say, Mike? Open wide. Open wide. TV. Come on. Hit Daddy's mouth. That's a good boy.
You know, now I'm beginning. It's becoming clear. You know, I don't do any of that crap to the dog. I don't take the dog out. I greet the dog when I come home in the evening, and in the morning I have a little play time with him where I throw stuff around the bed, and he does that ha ha where he comes at me and stuff like that, and that's it. Maybe I should collect his urine, and he would feel differently about me.
Well, good luck collecting the urine. Mm-hmm. I mean, I said to her, the vet, I said, number two, no problem. Number one, kind of tough to collect that stuff.
Yeah, but if you're gonna collect number two, don't use a NyQuil. That's no good can come of that.
You'd have an easy time collecting the number one. You just have to wring out your new pants.
Yeah, exactly. Right, the dry cleaning. That's how I do it. I just wring out the dry cleaning. You know, screw it. I don't care if he doesn't like me. He greets me, and he's lying. He's lying. He's absolutely deceiving
me. His life is a lie.
His life is one big lie.
The Pet Evacuation and Transportation Standards Act passed 349-24. 24 heartless bastards.
Now listen, I was going to say something on this, if I could, for a second.
Sure.
Because Mike said, you know, people come first. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I think if FEMA or Bush, whoever it was that screwed up New Orleans, mm-hmm. if they had gone in correctly, it would have been humans first. And then once you get the humans, then, I mean that does break your heart when you would see the helicopter shots of dogs up on roofs of houses.
I don't begrudge anybody if they're bringing one of those flatboats and they're getting somebody off a roof mm-hmm. and they've got their pet with them. You let them, you let people take their pet along with them. But if you're going to see a dog by itself and you got a person in a house, it's just, it's kind of weird. It seems to me that this makes great headlines, but it really doesn't amount to much.
The NRA wants hurricane guns. That's our story when we return.
Hurricane guns?
Hurricane guns.
To shoot at the hurricane?
Exactly. No. I'll explain when we come back.
That actually was a stripper that I saw in New Orleans one
hurricane
time.
Guns.
Hurricane guns. She was wonderful. Hell of a lot nicer to me than that dog.
You know who I was with? Hurricane Gums.
One of the older ones.
Category 5. Yeah.
Met her down on Bourbon Street. Said, how long have you been here? Since this town was made.
Yeah. Yeah. Used to date Al Hurt, if I remember correctly. That's for the old people in our listening audience.
She said, you're bigger than Pete Fountain.
Good call. She taught Harry Connick everything he knows.
She said, when I used to go down on Archie Manning.
Yeah. Oh. Boy, I tell you something, Don. This is the most fun I've had since I tried to flip Richard Simmons. When I had the Neville brothers.
This is turning. You're wing. You're king of New Orleans. Forget it. I'm
Thank
out.
You.
Hey. I'm out. I'm not going
King of New Orleans, and I'll just end with this.
When I was going down on Fats Domino. Lord. God damn. I tell you, I really enjoyed that little Johnny Goodman.
I don't know if he's from there. He was just thinking Marty Gras.
He's been in a lot of New Orleans movies. Yeah. Little Johnny.
Yeah, Little Johnny Goodman.
Little Johnny Goodman.
Little fat boy.
All right, Gums. Buzz, what's next?
NRA, Hurricane Guns.
Oh, right, Hurricane Guns. Be right back.
Number 15, Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
You know, a lot of shows come out of the gate big, but do you think this will last?
Totally. Everybody is talking about the show. It's huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's got buzz and all that, but it's also really good. So when people do show up, they see how great it is.
The Don and Mike Show. Legendary Canadian troubadours, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thinking about bringing back old Stinky Strip Trivia.
Yeah,
thinking about bringing it back on Thursday. Put some pictures up on the World Wide Web. Lunch the company will let us get away with.
Great prizes for strip trivia, too.
Big TV, HDTV, $1,500. You got to send your information, though, DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Right.
Here's a shock. We have lots of scrotes.
Yeah, it's a sausage fest, and we are looking for the lovely ladies.
Just a couple of daisies have called. It's Buzz, or written emails. Buzz now, brought to you by Cox.
Right.
We got plenty of that. Cox Business Services, COX, providing broadband-based high-speed internet, local and long-distance phone, video and data solutions for all your businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Cox Sure because I have CoxBusiness.com.
Did you make that one up?
No, I just did.
That's a pretty good slogan. I mean, I really think they ought to contact you at the advertising
And
department.
You know, my friend who works there, Mr. Smith,
mm-hmm.
Cox Smith.
Yeah.
COX.
That's right.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi there.
As the NRA meets in Milwaukee this year for its annual convention, the topic is how the New Orleans police chief, after the hurricane, ordered his men to go door-to-door and confiscate guns.
Don, you are on the air, sir.
Get the gun. The police chief says he gave no such order. He says his men did take guns from guys who were roaming the streets with them, but the NRA is forging ahead with its demand that police chiefs and mayors promise to never confiscate weapons during times of crisis.
God forbid.
The NRA also wants to make it a specific crime for mayors and police chiefs to do such a thing.
Because when you're drowning, you need your gun.
That's right. It plans to make that law an issue in the next elections.
And it can be used. It's made of wood. It can be used as a flotation device.
Speaking of wood,
Hi, this is Wendell Hall.
Scientists gathering in Ontario.
Hi, Wendell Hall.
Hi, Wendell.
In all this excitement, I sort of forgot myself.
Oh, my.
This is a Smith & Wesson 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world. So what you've got to be asking yourself is, do you feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well,
good luck.
Good luck.
Gurgle.
Bye, Wendell.
Scientists gathering in Toronto recently agreed that...
Toronto!
Oh, my God, I just booed.
Good for you.
Wait till you hear what they say. They say the careless use of pesticides, especially just so your lawn looks nice, is more than just bad for the environment. They agreed it also decreases penis size in humans.
Uh-oh.
Quoting one scientist at the conference, just because you can buy them at the store doesn't mean that's appropriate. Some of the pesticides contain hormones.
Yeah.
The doctors agree that pesticides affect the whole reproduction cycle.
And hormones.
Yeah. Affect the...
Yeah, boy. Hormones.
They say pesticides affect the entire cycle from infertility to genital abnormalities.
Oh, dear.
Hi there.
Quoting another doc. Well, yeah, but in a good way, I suppose.
Mine's always been considered abnormal.
Abnormally spectacular.
Quoting another doc, there
you got me kind of ramped up today with that.
There's been a dramatic increase in genital abnormalities in baby boys, and the doc says this may be a sign of reproductive trouble later in their lives.
Oh dear.
Stephanie Sardina of Trenton, New Jersey, is just 22 years old. She hasn't had a period since she was 17. She's like a growing number of women who
She's tense.
What
we should do really is make a mold.
Put it in the water.
Make a mold, make her the, you know, beyond...
So she's cool?
She's like a growing number of women who use birth control pills or other hormone therapies
right.
to completely avoid menstruation. By choice, they have no periods.
Yeah.
And more doctors are telling women these days, it's okay.
Yeah. No, I mean...
That's the same
you used for the hormone.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, come on, can you imagine that? I'm guessing one of the benefits would be
mm-hmm.
you could just... have sex all the time. You have to worry about babies.
Mm-hmm.
And second, boy, if she didn't get her period, I mean, my God.
Sales of the pill have skyrocketed. Quoting Stephanie, it's one of the best things I've ever done. She says it's helped her marriage by preventing crankiness once a month.
Think of the days that you would get back. Think of the days every mm-hmm. month that days that you would get back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
everybody's experienced that type of thing where you'll say something along the lines of, you know, you look absolutely beautiful.
What do you mean?
Exactly.
You know, that craziness.
Right. And as Don said, she says it has improved her sex life.
Mm-hmm.
When we return...
Can I just tell you
what?
One thing about my girlfriend?
Sure.
Because I'm smooth like this. We're having some discussion about female stuff.
Yeah.
She said something like, well, you know, my friend is here. Cause I said... You're not done with that yet?
Oh, very nice.
Come on, how old are you? So you're 42?
What? Can we speed that along a little bit?
You're not done with that?
Yeah, come on.
Let's cut to the chase here. Let's get to the finish line.
Come on, Shelley.
Come on. She didn't take it as a compliment.
No. Oh, dear.
No, she didn't.
Mm.
Oh, well.
You're so impatient.
Finish your homework before you blaze up. That's our story when we return.
Oh, God. Wow.
Joe. All right, Buzz, be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Notoriously Unco, Don and Mike.
Yeah. Mike's got his sunglasses on.
It's because of the song.
Yeah.
Down in the boondocks.
And here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
In sports.
Buzz lives down in the boondocks. Not in the boondocks.
Not a bad neighborhood.
Come on, Don Burbank.
In sports, the Immokalee Florida High School football team won the state championship in 2004, but it may be with an asterisk. Principals just admitted he used bad judgment when he let a 20-year-old, a 23-year-old, and a 30-year-old play for the school's sports teams.
The 30-year-old?
Yeah.
That's serious business down that part of Florida.
The 23-year-old's from Haiti, so he came in especially handy for the school's soccer team. Sheriff's deputies even caught on to the scam, filed a report, and tried to get the principal to stop this charade.
What's your major?
You have to be under 21 to attend high school with the other kids in Florida. You have to be under 19 to play soccer with them.
Here's our new... new student, you may have seen him in the movie The Gods Must Be Crazy. Come on in, son.
And when police in Lithuania pulled over a trucker for weaving, they thought something must be wrong with their breathalyzer because the driver, according to the equipment, blew 18 times the legal limit.
That's a lot of blow.
The equipment turned out to be accurate. Quoting a police official, this guy should have been dead.
Michael Mara.
Hi, everybody.
And finish your homework, then you can smoke pot. That's the sage advice from a mother in Hanover, Pennsylvania. But 30-year-old Amanda Livelsberger is now in trouble with the law for her parenting.
Livelsberger?
Especially since she's been toking with her son since he was 11. She says she hoped they would help him forget and get over the absence of his father, who's now doing prison time for selling crack. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. You fit a lot in.
I did.
That last part.
Uh-huh.
You packed a lot in.
I did.
Sure did there, Burbank.
Master Packer.
Master Packer. Watch out, Binghamton.
We got to go. Don't forget, email us if you're interested in startup trivia. We'll have the information on that on tomorrow's episode.
Come on, girls.
We will see you tomorrow. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
What's your pulse right now?
It's real good right now.
Good.
It's the end of the show. Elevated at the beginning, slow at the end. It's perfect.
You know, it's well, I don't want to say it's disheartening. It's different to see you stand there and put your two fingers up to your...
Not funny anymore, is it?
No, it's not.
I won't do it anymore.
No, it's still funny.
I'll do this, though.
See you tomorrow.
Bye, everybody.
Mike's dying.
Till we meet again.
Door shut.
Be kind. Yep. Be nice. And I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight.
What the hell's going
on? Let me leave you swinging.
Not dying. What the hell's going on here?
Not today.
Huh?
Who are you being right now?
Being Paul Ford, character actor, legendary character actor. From all those old movies. You remember Buzz?
Yeah, I remember.
Remember that guy?
Phil Silvers.
Do you?
Yeah. Phil Silvers.
He's the one that gave me the name. I know you don't know who he is.
Phil Silvers was Sergeant Bilkey.
No, I'm not doing Phil Silvers, though.
He's doing the general on the Phil Silvers.
The general.
Oh,
from
Sergeant Bilkey.
You better get your act together, Bilko.
Hold on. There you go.
Nice thought, Donnie.
I'll leave you with that. See you tomorrow.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.